You're listening to Around Comics, the new number one. Dun, dun, dun. Are we using that?
Yeah,
song?
That's one of our sick guys.
He just can't stick with it, man. He won't stick with it. He just has to put in his fucking college music shit.
Get some Ryan Adams up in here.
Adams. No, what I think we should use is...
No.
You wanted the best. You got the best. Dan. Chicago, this is Around Comics, the comic culture podcast. Hey there, folks. Christopher Niesman here. And I know, I'm excited.
He's been stored up. I'm rejuvenated.
I know. I was thinking it's been
some
almost.
Reason I feel sad.
I know that there's a pall of sadness that has fallen over the room. I'm joined, as always, by my partner in crime.
As sometimes,
periodically over the last 6 years, Mr. Brian Salazar.
Yo!
And coming back to us, the prodigal son returns from Worcester.
Mm-hmm.
It's Mr. Tom Caters. Welcome back, sir.
Oh, I forgot. It's an odd. Yeah, I nodded. Like, hey, you're right. Yeah,
podcast. Yeah, right. You've done. You never stopped podcasting. I saw you with a snippy little retort.
Well, you were like the comic resurrection of the year, Tom Caters.
I wasn't talking about you. I wasn't talking about you.
Oh, you're talking about.
I was talking about the show.
Oh. Okay.
It was not.
See,
I
assume
you're so self-absorbed.
I know. I figured.
Jeez,
it's not all about Tom.
You go to Worcester and you just lose
yourself.
Go
to the East Coast. Yeah, well, it's a big city. You know, you get out there, and a lot of people surrounding you saying yes all the time. And, yeah, I fell in with the wrong crowd.
Have you since you've been back? Have you had Mexican for almost every meal?
Yeah, I have actually. Yeah.
Because that's the one thing. Whenever you came
he called
back
me up and made me bring it to him.
I know.
He had my sisters cook up some beans.
Very nice. Well, you know, he comes. he visits last year. I'm like, so Tom, how do you like Worcester? And he's like, I cannot find a taco worth a shit in Massachusetts.
If you Google tacos Worcester, the first thing that pops up is Taco Night at Irish Times Bar.
Which
is not that. It is not. This place is. It's in like. It's a three-floor bar. The bottom level is an Irish pub. The second level is a sports bar. Now, if you could tell me the difference between those two, I mean, I can't be that Irish, all right? Like, and then the third floor is a dance club called Rehab.
Wow.
Yeah. Never went there. Never went for Taco Night.
Why not? Sounds awesome.
See, you had to drive everywhere. So
I'm imagining hard shell tacos.
Oh yeah, the hardest cold tacos.
Oh. Yeah, like tortilla chip.
El Paso, picante sauce.
I was wishing for Taco Bell at that point.
I would have taken a double decker taco.
Since this is here a comic book podcast, I wanted to talk about your comic experience.
What is this, an interview show with Tom?
I need to catch up with him. It's
on your own time, buddy. I'm kidding.
Is going.
Because you know when you left, you were weekly comic shop, mm-hmm. pull list guy, reading everything. You probably read as many
you were
comics.
Pale,
as
pale, spindly,
it was
sort
weak,
of weak,
physically
backed,
weak.
Physically weak.
We marveled
on the verge of just falling apart physically.
Yes, you were. Yes.
We marveled at the fact that you were married.
Yeah, I somehow got married. You know,
but what was the comic experience like in the Boston area?
In Worcester,
there was a good storm.
And Worcester is not Boston. You know,
no,
to be
no,
fair.
No, it's not. It's way better than Boston. It's like 1,000 times. You know, without all the pretensions,
Red Sox
those Boston
fans
others, Red Sox fans in Worcester. Everyone's a Red Sox fan. It was fine, I guess. I stopped. I don't read that much comics on a weekly basis. I read comics.
Fuck.
I just don't read.
Wow, this is going to be a quick return.
Yeah. I forgot to tell you guys. No, I mean, I still read comics. I'm just not as much of like a buy like 15 a week type guy anymore.
So you've toned it down. Was that was that because you moved? It was just sort of fell into.
Just sort of ended up happening.
Do you think it was because maybe like you broke the cycle by moving?
Oh yeah.
And then once you sort of got away from it, it was sort of like a battered.
It's one of those things where it's like a battered spouse. Yeah. I got away and I was like, my God, I feel free.
I can be free.
For the first
time. I can live.
I changed my name.
Well, you bought a lot of comics because I told Beatty that you were moving back, and
he excited.
Well, he just did a store renovation whenever he heard the news.
Oh yeah. Well, I think it just sort of broke the cycle of getting weekly comics. You know, it's that thing where you think that you really want to read things, and then when you don't get them, and
you don't miss them,
and you're like, well, fuck, I guess I didn't need to read that at all. Yeah. So it just sort of, you know, the ebb and flow of reading comics, you know, there's I guess not as much with the big two that I'm terribly excited about reading. I mean, there's a few things here and there, but I'm definitely not getting like 13 books.
The new
week.
52, you're not getting all.
I'm not getting all of them. 20, I'm getting some of them. Yeah. I read some of them.
52. Yeah.
Well, that's one of the things I've found, you know, with my own reading, and I know that Sal, you know, we've talked about it a little bit. It was just so much, and we're getting old and have senior moments and aren't able, quite honestly, to remember everything that's going on.
Kids in these Bendis comics, the way they talk.
Wait, Ultimate Spider-Man is black Puerto Rican? Well, in my day,
he was a white kid.
But, you know, you helped teach me the joy of going back and reading old silver and mostly Bronze Age comics. And so going through like those Legion of Superhero comics, which I still try and read a couple of weeks, you know, it's great stuff.
It's because they're very I had an epiphany this week about what I don't really enjoy about a lot of the more recent superhero comics. And it came to me while reading a Bob Haney written Aquaman comic, which is just like a James Bond ripoff, like Aquaman is a secret agent.
Nice.
And, I mean, it doesn't make any sense. And
above or below water?
Above water, tuxedo, everything. Gets in the water, still has the tuxedo on.
Is there a lot of espionage under the sea?
He works for free is the only thing I can assume. He's at the very bottom of when the FBI requests people. Like, Aquaman will just do whatever you ask him to do.
Get him some coffee or something.
Doing stuff like that is very non-self-conscious, you know, like they sort of shameless in a way. Like, oh, we'll just do a James Bond story because James Bond stories are popular, and there's no sort of embarrassment about doing it. Whereas, if you take, for instance, the new Aquaman comic, which seems at times to be like an apology for all previous Aquaman comics that have ever come out. Like, I know you all think Aquaman's lame, you know, like
the actual character
of the book is saying that, you know, and it's kind of like, it's a little too self-conscious, you know, it's a little too,
right.
It's like, listen, you don't have to apologize for old comics.
Being
Aquaman,
yeah.
There's a lot of stuff that sort of strikes me that way these days as being very, very sort of
self-aware.
No, there's a difference between being self-aware and self-conscious.
Oh,
like,
okay, sure.
You know, there's stuff that's self-aware that's...
Self-conscious in the fact that...
It's like, this is a comic.
Trying to go... Well, you know, I think in some ways they are trying to break away from some of the things that kept comics maybe in a sort of cloistered audience.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like,
but
they're
in a
trying
weird
to
way,
reach a larger audience.
But in a weird way, it's... cloistered it in a totally different manner, of which like events are to me like the most self-conscious things. They're the most
I was speaking just about the Aquaman.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, you know, I could kind of see them going, well, we're trying, okay, how do we get Aquaman to be liked by a larger audience than just, you know, the 11 people that like Aquaman now?
Tom has more listeners than that.
I'm just kidding. I mean,
there's dozens.
There's at least dozens. No, but I think everyone sort of has a preconceived notion about Aquaman. If you're outside, if you haven't read it, if you just you know who Aquaman is, but you haven't actually read the comics,
People
have a preconceived notion. And
it doesn't go
very good.
Yeah, it doesn't go much farther than like Challenge of the Super Friends.
Right.
You
could also
and that notion is Aquaman's lame.
But you could also
not to
say
that he is or isn't. I'm just saying. I think for a larger audience of people that may have heard of Aquaman, know Aquaman, but have never read the book, their notion is that he is kind of lame. whether or not they've actually ever read it. But so how do you sort of fight against that?
You could do what Batman Brave and the Bold did, and they sort of – have you ever seen the Aquaman version on that cartoon?
I think that is the best
way to handle sort of – he's like this sort of pompous like king, and it sort of absorbs all the like Aquaman's lame type jokes and kind of flips them around. You know, like it's has a sense of humor to the character, which I think a lot of comics now are very afraid to have any sort of anything beyond like a gallows sense of humor to things. Like it's like, well, there can't be anything that's not remotely, even remotely not serious,
right,
know, about this. Like you can't have any sort of like even a tinge of sort of.
They're not very playful.
In the Aquaman and Batman Brave and the Bold is it's very funny because he's sort of he's the hero and he's a good guy, but he's sort of
dick.
Yeah, kind of a dick.
The same thing with Plastic Man. The Plastic Man episodes on that were great.
Yeah.
It's that character is so ridiculous, but I mean it set it up and went back to his gangster.
Well, we all
gangster.
Know Aquaman is just Geoff Johns trying to apologize for Aquaman. He's trying to. I mean,
Aquaman is
he's cool.
Serious.
Shut up. Stop calling Aquaman lame. He's
Stop
not.
Stop calling. That's, There's these monsters eating people. No, he's going to fight them.
I don't know. I guess. I kind of like the fact that they dealt with it a little bit in there, saying, you know, like all the people around Aquaman kind of going, yeah. Oh, this dude's, you know, and him just sort of wading through it a bit.
Yeah.
But so far in the two issues that have come out of it, you've seen more of the outer perspective of Aquaman than him. You don't really know what he's like at all.
It's like, okay, we get it. Everyone thinks Aquaman. Listen, you know, I'm buying an Aquaman comic. I know what people think about Aquaman. You don't need to tell me. People think it's...
But that's what I'm saying. Like, you who like Aquaman, but that's the thing. They're trying to reach...
But do you
audience.
Think someone that didn't read it would pick that up and be like,
I don't know. I don't. That's such it's, a hard, weird, it's so it, hard for me to.
Yeah.
To
I mean,
say.
I don't know either. I'm just. I think
it's
weird.
It's impossible to do that.
It's almost impossible to think that way.
Yeah.
But I do think it's oftentimes in comics for when they're like, let's get new readers. With instead of thinking like, let's do new things, let's just do the opposite of what we've done before. And
right.
Like. That's will be good because
well, I think
it, because comics are really reactionary. Like they've always historically been sort of like
I
whatever
agree.
Is
I
popular.
Agree, but I don't know. I think you know I read most of the 52 books that came out. Not all of them. Some of them I just was like, yeah, I have no.
I read a lot of them.
But I read a lot of
read
them.
All, I read all of the first
yeah,
52.
There was a couple I didn't read.
There's a lot that I thought were actually really quite good.
I liked a lot of them.
I was surprised by some both ways. There were some that I was really looking forward to that I just really didn't like, and it bummed me out. But then there were some that I had very little interest in and loved.
For instance, you know, I'm sort of complaining about Aquaman in the opposite direction of one that I thought was, oh, that's like the Frankenstein comic. Mm-hmm. I thought
so
was
good.
Very like. It had
surprising?
Not necessarily surprising, but it was like here. It was like a comic that did comic booky things and didn't feel the need to like. There's sort of a sense of fun to it too, because Frankenstein is so sort of gravely like 19th century serious, you know, that it's
Victorian,
sort of
he's very
Victorian, and it kind of plays off strange. And there's you know strange creatures and everything, and there's never like a sense of like listen. Frankenstein's
Dude.
Cool, you know, like everyone, you know, you're gonna like Frankenstein, you know, spending all this time where it's just
good
like,
dude, just give
just
a chance,
doing things that are, you know, like all kinds of cool stuff in it, and it's kind of like, oh, that's good, you know, like if I, in my own mind, I was like, that's a great way to sort of start a series, like
skateboarders,
goddamn punks.
Let's ask them if they like comics.
Get in here, Reed.
Get in
you
here,
bastards.
Frankenstein.
Aquaman's not lame. Get in here and read it.
Aquaman is not lame.
I don't want to read this Aquaman comic.
You know, I with most of them, I tried to look at, even if I didn't like them, I tried to look at them in that other perspective. Like, okay, well, what would someone outside of the comic book world, outside of our core audience of people that already buy and read comics that maybe are interested in, you know, because I think that, like, that audience is sort of, there's an opening there. Like, with all the comic book movies and TV stuff and the sort of geeky, nerdy culture stuff that's out there now, that audience is, it's becoming much more mainstream and acceptable, and I think you have an opportunity there.
Is that you know, but, you think obviously a book like, you know, I Vampire?
Yeah, well, that's certainly, you know,
dude,
going
vampires are hot right
but,
now.
But I'll tell you what, you know, so many people just attack the shit out of Catwoman. And
oh yeah.
I appreciate some of the feelings on what people said about that book, but I read that book, I didn't hate it, I didn't love it. I actually really liked the art, but
you recognize the
but
audience.
I looked at it and I went, there, you know what? Yeah. I know people that aren't comic book fans, but that are younger than me. I have nieces and nephews that love Twilight or love True Blood or love, you know, 50 other fucking TV shows and movies that are out there that are nothing but gratuitous sex. And
yeah,
I mean, that's all they are. And
that's what
I read that book and I'm like, yeah, this is who they're trying to get with that book. And they did a damn good job of trying to do it. Am I going to keep, you know, I didn't give a shit because I have no interest in masturbating to a drawing of Catwoman. If I'm going to do that, I'm going to look
second.
Up.
He's more of
interest.
Listen,
he's more.
Listen.
He's more of a Tigra guy.
No, that's not a lie, actually.
Untrue.
I can go online and find plenty of pictures of real women in Catwoman suits to masturbate to if that's what I really need to fucking do. Which drives me crazy about, like, the complaints about the book Catwoman of like, oh, it's just trying to, like, get, you know, oh, you just need to draw pictures that, you know, comic book nerds can whack off to. Like, really? With the internet, this day and age, I don't imagine there's very many comic book nerds that are whacking off to a fucking drawing of Catwoman. You Google Catwoman right now, you're going to get more pictures of chicks dressed up. I mean, it's easier to find a picture woman half-dressed in a Catwoman outfit than a drawing of Catwoman.
You certainly don't have to pay to see a sexy drawing of Catwoman.
Exactly.
Listen, if you have the internet, there's
I don't know. Like I said, but back to what I was trying to say is just that I kind of get that at least they're thinking in that sense, that that's really the audience they're going for. It was hit or miss with me. There's some things I really enjoyed that I loved. Mm-hmm. But the one thing about it that I really respected out of it was, hey, they were honestly, I think, trying to reach a different audience.
Yeah.
And I think that was a really brave thing for them to do, and I hope it's incredibly successful. You know what? Am I going to love every book they put out? No, I don't need to.
Well, you should.
You know what I mean?
And that's the larger...
I don't want to listen. It's too many goddamn books.
If you like them all, that's
I've bought a lot of DC comics in my life, and they owe it to me to make all the books
exactly
the way... comic book characters do you guys masturbate to?
Oh,
I like the old Doctor Who comics from like the
of course
from the '80s. Big Tegan.
Oh
fan.
My God, Doctor! I've become tangled in your scarf. However, will I get out of this?
Yeah, there's some crazy Doctor Who fan fiction out there.
There's crazy sexual fan fiction of
everything.
All sorts.
I'm a Casper the Friendly Ghost. I don't know.
That's weird.
Yeah.
Makes you feel all fluttery.
It's weird in a lot of ways.
I don't know, something about his bulbous white head. I'm not sure what
that
says, but
yeah,
I don't know.
It's a fictional character, dude.
It's like some 11 o'clock comics all of a sudden.
Yeah, right. Yeah. No,
I've never gotten cheesecake art, really, to be honest.
Well, you know, I don't have anything
I've
against
never,
it.
I've
like
never
it.
Seen. I guess
I, you know, but
what I meant is the draw that. There are people that, like, that's what they buy. Like,
when you go to a convention and you see the you know,
not that there's any
lines for Adam.
I'm just, we're just sharing. This is a safe place for us to share.
I don't think that, I don't think the buyers are the one that are driving the production of cheesecake art. No, I mean, in all honesty, artists, I mean, you look through history.
They love,
the most common thing that any artist has ever done has been a beautiful woman or a half naked woman.
Yeah.
Guess what? It's fun to draw naked women if you're an artist. That's, I mean, what
dudes'
you know,
bodies
if you're
are
a,
ugly.
Yeah, dude. Yeah. Well, I mean, if you're a a straight male and happen to be able to pick up a pencil and draw,
you're going
to
draw
more
a
than
woman.
Likely sooner or later you're going to draw a woman, because you know what they have the female body is aesthetically amazing, and there's so many of them, and I mean, you know, it's
you know what I think is aesthetically pleasing? Big fucking claws. That's
okay.
Aesthetic.
Oh,
okay.
Prefer for,
weird.
Yeah, that's a little strange. No, but
short, hairy Canadians
was, with big claws.
It was
big
interesting. Claws. Like, I saw a post. Basically, it was someone had taken a bunch of like average-looking guys, or even like you know slightly attractive-looking guys, and put them in like
the Tom
cheesecake.
Zone. The Tom Zone.
Yeah,
slightly attractive.
Yeah, slightly attractive. Hairy.
Hairy.
And put them in cheesecake
confused.
Poses.
Yeah.
Like classic cheesecake poses. And it was ridiculous. I mean, it was so just stupid looking. And you kind of look at it and go, oh, my God.
Oh, was that the thing from like the JLA promo art where they put all of the male characters?
It wasn't.
And,
no. Oh, okay. This was photographs, and it was actual models.
But it looked stupid.
It just looked so ridiculous. And you start to think, well, yeah, I mean, is that what we're doing to women when we put them in, you know, but it's like, no, the male body is fucking ugly and dumb looking. The female body is gorgeous and amazing and, you know what I mean? Like,
I mean, the only way to pose a man is with a gun in his hand, staring off into the distance, defending his country.
That's sexy.
That is sexy.
Flag in the background.
A bandolera with bullets all, you know, around his chest. That's what
I think you certainly have. I mean, there are certain connoisseurs of cheesecake art and
what I should say is to be more sort of specific is sometimes I hear people talk about attractive characters in comics, and I'm always like, but I understand that the image of an attractive person can be appealing, but I've heard certain people, you know, especially overheard at cons and stuff, and I'm like, that's not real. Like, you could find, like, it's
yeah,
a little,
I don't,
there's
I mean,
like a borderline sort of weird thing.
I mean, I've been buying comics since I was 10 years old. I don't ever remember buying a comic, even at my teenage horniest, ever buying a comic book because of, like...
You're sexually... like,
yeah.
Oh,
like, you waited until your mid-30s to go back and get all the tarot back issues?
Yeah, absolutely, you know?
There's some good stories, man. Those are some good stories.
I can look at a drawing of... female character, or a painting of a woman, or whatever, and appreciate it for what it is. And
but there has to be some, because the thing is, the topic always comes up of how women are drawn in comics. You know, so there must be some element of that, because it's been such a huge, or otherwise women wouldn't be drawn.
But it's not the buyers that are sitting there going, I want, bigger.
I mean, it's like a chicken and egg thing,
right?
Because everything is so much like that's what the audience wants, but there's sometimes it's what
the
is
artist
produced,
or the what people think the audience wants, and then the audience goes, well, okay, I'll you know.
The main lesson is stop masturbating to your comics.
go online and get some proper
pornography.
Yeah.
And Sal touched on it.
Don't pirate your pornography.
What we sometimes have a tendency to forget is that the people that are creating the comics are fans,
perverts.
I'm sorry.
Yeah. Fans. That's what I mean.
Fans.
These are
fans.
These are artists. Have you seen some of these ads?
they don't see the light of day. They're in their studio fantasizing about Power Girl, you know, as much
as anyone.
Little
Catwoman.
So. Now, on the other side, there is certainly at this point in my life, like, you know, an attractive woman in a Catwoman suit. There's certainly something there. I can't deny that.
I mean, New York Comic Con, which I went to a few weeks back, has gotten to the point that there are just too many people there for me. It's not my comfort zone for
a
convention.
It's too big city.
It's too big city. Yeah. You know, Country Mouse doesn't like all
Country
the people.
Mouse.
Oh, someone stepped in my corn cob pipe when I dropped it on the floor.
Pretty much.
Are you cosplaying as a farmer?
Well, you see, I did
hayseed.
These are my new shoes I wore to.
Are you fucking kidding?
No,
me?
No, he's not joking. Yeah, cowboy boots. He's been wearing those for weeks.
Jesus Christ.
Cowboy boots.
Lou Brock jersey and some cowboy boots.
I'm set up.
He's America.
I'm a real American.
Now, if you had that a Tom Baker style scarf.
Oh, I've got one.
You should wear that with this outfit.
This is
the new America. Get that song that's on that Herman Cain ad and just play it like, I am America. You know, right behind Chris as he's.
You add the Doctor Who scarf to this. I think it's just one step too far, Tom. But what I didn't know is is that New York for cosplay is crazy, crazier than, and I know that San Diego is famously and obviously Dragon Con, but going to New York, the cosplay
this
there.
Was an anime fest there too. Is
and both. Well, it's both. I mean, there's certainly a lot of the anime.
And cosplaying has gotten ridiculous. Like, there's more like people cosplaying now at conventions than not.
And there are, you know, what I mean? Like, and the people that cosplay, I would say a lot of them don't read comics.
No, yeah, they're just dressing
it's
up.
It's the cosplay. It's the
it's Halloween.
Hey man,
it's Halloween at every
like I said,
con that they go to.
I think if I was a teenager in this day and age, I would totally be a steampunk nerd. Mm-hmm. Like I'd be wearing weird like mechanical backpacks. I think that shit's awesome. I love that whole.
Sal,
I wouldn't do it now.
It's not
but,
too late.
No, I think it's.
Come on, just a little.
Halloween's
like
enough
a little,
for me. Like
a little backpack, a little steampunk. Steam,
I thought about it. No.
It is amazing though to go to one of the really big shows and see. The attention to detail.
Oh, yeah. I mean, Chris is living his dream. Why aren't you? He's got his cowboy boots and the Brock jersey.
And the Brock jersey.
I am.
You can wear your
I'm in costume as a world champion.
Kind of
Tom.
A dick move to wear the fucking.
It was a dick
Brock
move.
I was
the hat.
I was expecting.
Kind of a
I
dick.
Was,
on your
hey,
return.
Hey.
I'm over
not
it.
Not a total dick move.
A little bit.
I tried to spread some baseball joy this year.
I didn't. I'm not a. I knew he was probably. He always wears a cardigan.
Well, this is true.
I mean, like
I told his wife and I both gave him a week. We're like,
yeah,
oh, you get a week.
This is it. This is it's been a, yeah. It's been a it's
after
been a week
this,
since the
to
cardinal,
celebrate.
Yeah, my wife over. Said you have 1 week to wear jerseys, talk about it, bring it up out of the blue.
I don't want to hear
after that, you're done.
Yeah.
No more,
Chris. I don't mind. You can.
We had a good time in Milwaukee.
Yeah, I had a great time.
How come I didn't get invited? Just wondering, I was here. I mean, I was just kind of sitting around.
We tried.
I love baseball. I could have, you know, driven.
Recorded it. We tried to start a new podcast.
Fuckers.
Well,
you were too busy.
Okay.
Looking at steampunk catalogs.
Well, I know this.
This
is thrilling podcasting, but it does come back to stuff that we've done. We've done the road trip episodes in the past. Next year, White Sox are playing in
Toronto. Oh, St. Louis. Do you realize how much I hate the Cardinals now?
I know.
I've despised them.
Well, we can go in and you can root for the White Sox. I figure that's the only way you're going to go to a Cardinal game is if you can go there and watch the White Sox.
I
Tom has no dog in that fight, but
he'll be a White Sox fan for me.
Yeah,
just because
internally, I'll root for a good game, a well-umped game.
Well-umped.
I'm rooting for the
I think we should go to Toronto and see a game. Or
I'm all in
Toronto
for that.
Convention.
What's
we could since you're in Canada, isn't Canada's like tourism tagline is you're always a teenager in Canada?
Is it really?
I could steampunk it.
Should be. That should
I'll
be. You're always a teenager.
Come for the poutine, stay for the beer.
Yeah.
Steampunk Lou Brock.
We can all live our dreams, man. Get up to Canada and dress however the hell we
want.
No,
let's go to Dragon Con if we're going to do that kind of crazy.
I don't. I'm kind of scared of Dragon Con, actually.
I agree with that a little
bit. That's like the sort
it's
of con where someone's going to, like,
rape
dose
you.
Dose you with acid or something. And, like,
oh, it's fine, man. You get to be the tail in this dragon. What? On this con? I just gave you acid. It's going to kick
what?
In soon.
What? What? That's like the con. That's like the con where something weird will happen.
My
here.
Hands
like,
are melting.
Yeah,
but no,
it's okay. We're just having.
Yeah, but it would happen to Chris, so that'd be okay.
It would totally happen to me.
It would completely.
I mean, no, dude, I moved up on the front legs now.
We're having a DC Marvel orgy. Yeah. And like, oh my god! Oh. What the fuck?
What is the Punisher doing there?
Toronto sounds great because Fan Expo actually takes place during baseball season, so there's a 50-50 chance that we could do that and go to a baseball game at the Sky Dome. We should stay at the hotel in the Sky Dome.
Yeah. Do you like having lots of cosplayers at a con?
My problem,
ooh.
And it's because I am an old, crotchety, curmudgeonly man. I have no problem with the cosplay, but whenever there's 90,000 people in a convention hall and I'm trying to get from point A to point B, I lose patience with the, oh, can I get a picture taken with you?
Right.
And
I'm trying
and
to keep Greg Rucka within my my eyesight line. You know, and you're honestly, blocking me with your fucking cardboard sword.
I spent the whole weekend trying to find Lemire. I wanted to say hi to Jeff Lemire.
Surprisingly, and he dodged you.
Yeah, and I think he saw me chasing him, and he's going, you know, down the hall, and I.
Someone gave him a stormtrooper helmet.
I lost track of him because someone needed to take a picture of Boba Fett.
I would take a picture of Boba. I think it's great. I like having the cosplayers there because, mm-hmm. to be honest, sometimes like being at a con for a couple of days is
pretty goddamn boring.
It's pretty fucking boring.
Yeah.
And it's like, oh, look, there's someone dressed like Magneto. You know,
I've become a huge fan of cosplayers. Yeah. This is kind of embarrassing, but one night. Getting ready.
Where's this going to go?
No, my niece has become sort of a nerd. I've turned her into a nerd over the years. Like, she's become more and more geek-orientated. And she bought a house a couple years ago, and she's been throwing Halloween parties every year.
Yeah.
And it's costume parties. And so, like, she's become very serious about the costumes. And I, of course, already am, just for Halloween.
Yeah, I have.
But, so, like, we're trying to, like, figure out what we were going to be for Halloween this year. And, like, one night, I literally, like, 3 hours on the computer looking at cosplayers. That's just sitting there looking at costume. And it wasn't even to the point of, like, we were actually researching, like, what we could do. Because it wasn't, you know, we're not putting that kind of work into a goddamn Halloween costume.
Yeah.
But it was just a fascination of, like, oh, my fucking God, that is ridiculous. Like, who puts that kind of time into a costume? Like, it's crazy, but I'm a huge fan. I think it's cool at a convention. I think it's awesome,
kids love it.
Kids love it, and God bless it. There's just so many more hot women at conventions now wearing skimpy little costumes, and that's wonderful. I'm fully support that.
Yeah,
a sexy mojo.
Whatever works. Whatever. I did see a cool. The iFanboy guys posted their
Halloween
costumes.
You know what my favorite one was?
Hmm.
The MODOK dog. The MODOK.
MODOK. I think it was that. I don't know if it was that or it was That's just from another Bean. Another That's post Bean, yeah. that I saw, but it was a guy that did a.
You remember the guy at C2E2 last year that got the big MODOK tattoo on his calf?
Yeah.
That's
yeah,
his dog.
Yeah.
That's his dog.
Jesus, guy loves MODOK.
He's got a thing, I guess. He's committed to it.
I saw Han frozen in carbonite costume, which was pretty funny.
That was sweet. That was very creative.
I don't know about Connor's new Superman. That was kind of weird. He's more of a Lex Luthor, you ask me. But
yeah, he's got, like, he could go as sort of like the Superboy clone if you got more of the Lex Luthor.
Yeah.
More of the Lex
Luthor. Little Lex jeans.
A little more of the Lex jeans.
Can you see a beer? Yeah, I'll take
it. Yeah, can you grab me one, too?
Grab us some beers. Grab some beers.
We got a whole plantain over here.
Anybody want some plantain?
Do you ever dress steampunk for Halloween?
I haven't, no. I've never attempted. But the funny thing is, like, I have a garage, and so I'm always working on projects and tearing shit out and going through stuff. And every once in a while, I'll run across something and I'll go, I could make something out of that. I could make some kind of steampunk gun or belt or something, but I never do. I'm too lazy. Like, that takes, like, craftsmanship and time and patience, and I don't have any
You don't
of those
have any
talents.
Of those things.
No.
You don't want to show up with some, like, fucking bought steampunk gear from somebody else.
Well, I totally would. I've told my wife that.
The steampunkers, did you make that?
If I ever...
I assume their culture is big into that.
I don't know. You look at Etsy, and, like, that's half of the shit on there is steampunk shit.
That's true.
But there's, like, now you can buy, like, full, like, deluxe Star Wars costumes. Like, $850 Stormtrooper costumes that are
Well, that's the thing with the 501. I mean, that's
501st.
Yeah, the 501st. That's one of the things I've always been really interested in and thought was really cool is that, you know, all of those costumes are homemade. And there are just, you know, like, huge, like, user groups. You know, is that what they still call them? Whatever message, you know,
forums.
Forums, whatever.
Oh, there's a GeoCities website. They use
the ham radio to talk about their. No, but there's
come in anyone out there.
A lot of shared information about, you know, how to, you know.
Oh yeah, you can go online.
You know, I
and
use
get
this to make
like,
this prop
tutorials and, guys are selling their costumes, and I've been very tempted to buy a complete Boba Fett costume. I would wear.
Oh, that's
I have.
Good.
Yeah,
that's good.
A Boba Fett.
Boba Fett. I would totally dig that, but what am I going to do with a Boba Fett costume, honestly?
Wear it every Halloween.
Every Halloween.
What? Boba Fett's
Boba
here.
Fett again.
See, those are the cosplayers that are nuts, because you'll see them at a convention. Say it's a four-day convention. They'll show up on Thursday dressed up as Scarlet Witch. And Friday as Rogue, changes, and man. Saturday as, Sheena, whatever. It's like a different costume every
But now, you know, day. The interesting thing I start seeing now is, like, you start seeing the ones that are, they look professionals. Like, not professional cosplayer, but professional models.
Or maybe different kind of professional.
Well, I don't know about that. I haven't delved into that world. But no, like she works for a soda company, but she's dressed up as Tomb Raider. You know, like stuff like that. You know, it's like, yeah, she's a little, like, she didn't make that costume. There's no way she's sewing that costume. I don't think she knows how to use it.
Attractive people are not that good crafty.
Well, no, I don't, but like, over, yeah, I guess that's, I shouldn't be so judgmental of the attractive, huh?
Yeah.
Yeah, well.
It could be just as lonely for attention.
No, come on, Tom. We know that's not true.
All right.
You're right. I mean, it's true. I know. You gotta look sharp. You gotta look sharp. And you gotta have no illusions. Just keep going your way, looking over your shoulder.
All right, Tom. I want you to settle a debate.
All right.
Sal was kind of talking me off my little fanboy wedge today.
Did this again?
Yeah, yeah. Slow zombies or fast zombies?
Which are better?
Yeah. Well, okay. Where this comes from is The Walking Dead.
Okay.
And how they keep kind of changing, in my
opinion.
The TV show. Okay. Have you been keeping up with it? Have you been watching it?
I've watched 2 episodes last year and then stopped.
Oh.
Yeah.
Maybe you're not the best. They keep changing kind of the rules of how the zombies are reacting.
They went from slow to fast?
Yeah.
I don't agree with this assessment of that.
A slight jog, maybe.
I didn't see any jogging. At the most, I saw power walking, but I don't even think I saw
okay,
that.
Yeah.
I think
they were like really spry old people at the mall.
I think it's whatever. It's one of those things where if the show is written well enough, it shouldn't really matter. It should be whatever
is necessary.
So if it serves the story. But
it's got to be a good story, or otherwise what happens is
when
you have a bad story, that's when you start going like, wait
noticing
a second.
That kind of stuff.
You
yeah.
notice all the rinky-dinky yeah. shit that they're getting
and,
wrong
and,
when the story starts.
Because you're bored and trying to,
And someone online made a very good point that The Walking Dead is a show right now that if you start poking holes in it, I mean, the entire thing will deflate.
And
very,
I had the same response as you did. Like, if it serves the story, I don't really care. I didn't notice like in any of The Walking Dead. It never stuck out to me. Like, oh, all of a sudden they're faster zombies than they were before. But then once again, I say, well, but I mean, if you look at it from like a bird's eye view, we've only seen, a small percentage of the amount of zombies in this world. How do we know? They've never set up that zombies are slow.
And that is one of the things about the comic that has been interesting is that we've basically just seen a sliver of
but
the
know,
southeast and
you're trying to set up one of those sort of nerd debates of like fast zombies, slow zombies.
I just
want to
be, I just want no. It's not even that. It's because I think like 28 days later, I love the infected
and
that they were fast and angry and fairly conscious. It's
what was the name of the disease?
Yeah.
What did they call
rage
it?
Rage or something.
Yeah, that's right. Rage. Yeah. Very good. Very good. It was a trivia question.
Is The Walking Dead show good?
The second season has picked up.
I've seen parts of other episodes. Yeah. I really liked the first one, and then the second one I was kind of like, eh. And then the third one. And then I just kind of like fell off
from
it. I'll probably watch it eventually.
No, the second season has been good.
I can go back and watch it.
And I think that each episode has gotten progressively better this year. Mm-hmm. This last one, even with the kind of discrepancy in zombie continuity.
I see a lot of like sackcloth and tears to heaven from comic book fans about Walking Dead like every Sunday when it comes out. People I follow on Twitter and people are like, oh my God, I can't believe they did this.
And they watch it every week. Yeah, oh, I like it.
I
watch it and go, really? Did that happen? I don't remember that in the comic. Oh, well, but I do like, I have enjoyed it. Yeah. My one complaint about it is it's about as slow as the goddamn comic is. I wish it was a little faster.
I gotta tell you, people I know who don't read comics love that show.
Really,
it has gotten itself into the mainstream.
He was on the fucking View.
Robert Kirkman's on the View. I'm listening to sports radio today at lunchtime, and it was on ESPN Radio, and they're talking about their favorite towns.
That's what I'm saying. There's a huge opportunity right now. Yeah. All this shit. People are finally like. Like I said, I'm talking about the microcosm that is my life and my family and people that I know that are not comic nerds or not and are turning into fucking geeks that are all of a sudden more geeky than I am about stuff and know more about sort of the cool pop culture stuff that's going on in that then it's like
what was cool about this thing on sports radio is that
it's flipping my world upside down, Tom.
It wasn't even a discussion about The Walking Dead. They just made a quick offhanded comment about The Walking Dead. And it's like just assuming that everyone.
My brother and sister both started watching Doctor Who, roughly around all of us separately. When I hurt my back, and I spent a lot of time lying down. Like the first couple months, I watched like every Doctor Who episode.
I would get messages from Tom talking about like 1960s and early 70s episodes of Doctor Who. I was so proud of you.
The new ones, I started watching the newer ones, and then it took a couple for me to really get into it. And then I was like, yeah, let's keep watching. They were all available. They're just all streaming, So I was just like,
there's a beautiful thing about like. Hulu and Netflix is like there's just tons of shit if you want to go back and watch it. I was proud of myself for watching a British television show that Chris has never watched.
I've never seen.
What show is it?
Misfits.
Oh, okay. I've heard of it. I've never seen it.
It's six episodes, hour long episodes each. They're on season three right now, and I'm only on season two. But it's basically five or six kids. Not kids, but.
Young adults
get in trouble, various things, and they all get sent to
juvie,
public service. They have to do community service. They have to go to community service, and while they're there, some sort of freaky storm happens, and they all get powers, like strange powers. Yeah. And then something happens to sort of tie them together, bond them together. I don't want to spoil it, so I won't say what. But they're just like kind of fuck ups. They're just none of them are particularly good people or smart or anything. I mean, they're just kind of fuck up kids.
They're misfits,
but they have these strange powers, and so the show is just about them trying to figure out what the hell to do with these powers, but at the same time, like. They have to go and do their community service every day. So they just come and do some community service, and then like weird shit happens.
Now
and
it's time to save the world.
No, they're not superheroes. They're not superheroes. They're not bad guys. They're fucking teenagers. They don't do anything. Like yeah, they're
great slackers with superpowers.
That's kind of what they are. Yeah, and but the funny thing is the one of the kids there's. One, two, three guys and two girls, I think. Yeah. Right? Yeah. Three guys, two girls. And the one guy, I shit you not, is fucking Hank Nasserback's Tiny Hank. It is his
taller, British,
thinner,
double.
Slightly better looking double. It looks just – and every time I watch him, I just laugh.
Better looking than Hank?
A little – yeah, I know. Amazing. Better looking than Hank. But
Hank still has to grow into himself.
Yeah. This is like – I look at this guy and I go, that's Hank in like five or ten.
Hank's like 16, 17 now, right?
You know what's scary? When we first met Hank, he was what, 15?
Yeah.
And now you're hiring him to do jobs for us at work.
He's
a junior in college or whatever. That's frightening.
But it's actually really good. I've really enjoyed it, and it's funny. And the great thing about it is there's nudity and swearing, and it's not
Brits don't shy away.
No,
from
not
stuff.
At all. It's fantastic, but it's pretty funny. It's actually it's funnier than not. Like, it's, you know what I mean? It's yeah. I wouldn't call it a, it's not a sitcom or it's not a straight comedy, but there's action, there's some mystery to it, there's, you know,
elements of comedy.
There are lots of it's funny just their interaction. It's very yeah. good, sort of like these young kids sort of interacting and the funny stuff that happens yeah. to them and just the way they talk to each other and everything else. And
it's the beauty of streaming.
Yeah, it's fantastic. And I've been watching it on Hulu.
You know what I've been watching? That I haven't watched in years? I watched all of Twin Peaks again.
Really?
Oh, it's past summer.
Really?
Yeah. Does it hold up?
I've never watched it all. I mean, I've seen some of Twin Peaks, but
it still holds up. It's still fucking weird.
Have you watched American Horror Story?
No. But yeah. I was going to say with Twin Peaks, what's funny is, you know, you hear so much now about how there's so many networks and there's so many things and things are so sort of spread out. And you think that Twin Peaks was an incredibly popular TV show for a year, and it is fucking weird as shit. Like,
crazy. Yeah. Like, it makes no sense weird.
Like, just insane.
Midgets
just
writing.
Like, shit with,
you know,
like,
people,
rape
backwards.
And incest and, like, all this stuff.
It's,
and
it's,
it
even
was
though, like, the first episode is great. Like, what? This makes no sense. Yeah, it's just.
That's the first TV show that I remember people having viewing parties for.
Yeah.
On the night of Twin Peaks.
It was a phenomenon.
People would get together at houses and watch Twin Peaks.
I loved it.
First time I ever heard it.
It was funnier than I remembered it, even for a show, because it had this, like, weird little.
Oh, David Duchovny and drag?
Yeah, like, just funny elements to it. Like, not comedy elements, but, like, the way characters interact with each other.
Very quirky.
Yeah. Like, very, like, very sort of quirky, like, and, you know, with the background of all these horrible things going on. And, like, the fact that the resolution of, like, the murder is something that, like, if that was on TV now, people would just be like, what? You know, like, that is what they,
that's
the solution?
That's my problem. Lynch just frustrates me to no end because I'm really attracted to all of his work until it gets to the end. Yeah. And then I'm just incredibly.
What about Blue Velvet?
Well, Blue Velvet, you know, but even.
Blue Velvet is
probably
like,
the most, you know.
Yeah, that's. Blue Velvet's like, yeah, this, the you know, obviously the.
Conventional story.
Obviously the prototype for Twin Peaks just because, you know, it's in a lumber town.
Dune.
Has murder, weird, like.
Is that
weird
David
shit
Lynch?
Going?
Yeah. Yeah.
Dune was David Lynch?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Man, I wonder.
Whenever Jodorowsky.
No, I look at, like, what was the one? God damn it.
Mulholland Drive?
Yes. Unbelievable. Yeah. For an hour and 45 minutes, unbelievable murder mystery.
Eric Stoltz in
and that? Then it just, like, falls to shit and makes no fucking sense and is insanely.
Lynch.
I shouldn't say that.
It's just.
The resolution to the murder in Twin Peaks isn't, like, ambiguous.
Right.
It's just something that people, if they were watching TV now, would just, it would be, like, that's such a bullshit.
It's not ambiguous. Lost fans?
Yeah, like, yeah, exactly. Like, not ambiguous in, like, you'll never know who did it. You find out who did it and
why they
did it, but it's such a weird resolution.
Like who killed JR?
Yeah, like you find out who did kill Laura Palmer. I mean, there's an answer to it, but people
do you
nowadays
care at that point, like,
yeah,
how many seasons was Twin Peaks?
Two.
It was two seasons.
But once they solve Laura, Palmer's
there was a
murder,
movie, right?
A Fire Walk with Me,
starring a lot of rape and a lot of incest in that movie.
Yeah,
movie is fucked up.
It's the first acting role I remember that Chris Isaac had.
Yeah.
Oh, all right.
Because he was the federal agent that was
I have to be honest. I've never watched more than a couple of episodes of Twin Peaks. Like, when it was on originally, with what year was that?
91, 92 or something.
Yeah, I mean.
No, it was before that. It was like 88.
Oh, God.
You should give it a shot again.
Yeah, I think I will. It's on Netflix, right?
Streaming on Netflix.
I just love that he filmed.
If you like, it is more like Blue Velvet than it is Mulholland Drive.
All right.
Like. I mean, there's weird shit in it. Like, there's weird shit.
Well, no,
in
I understand. Yeah, yeah.
But
yeah,
it's not like sort of like.
I don't mind weird. Weird doesn't bother me at all. Weird is
the cliffhanger that the series ends on. Is like, whoa, shit! I wish they would have made another
one. Ambiguity sometimes that he puts in his films. To me, it's like I know people are convinced that it's intentionally ambiguous to try and make you think, and I think it's just I can't think of a fucking ending. So here you go. If you try and convince me that the ending of Mulholland Drive,
you want to put like he and Grant Morrison into a, you know, like a
bag and drown them,
a cage match.
No.
What do you think of the new Action Comics that Morris is?
I actually love it. I really love the Action Comics. And the reason, although it's progressively each, it's three issues so far. Each issue I've been a little less crazy. Like the first issue, I loved it.
I think the art has gotten worse each issue.
Each issue, yeah. It seems like maybe he's getting pushed
stretched.
Along. Yeah, the first, but I think what I love about it so much is that it's a Superman book and I don't know what's going on.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, I don't know all the answers of who this guy is or what his plan is or what his sort of goal is. You know, he's kind of a dick. I don't even know who he is. I don't even know who he is as Superman. Yeah. You know what I mean? Like, and I really enjoy that at this point in my life of being able to read a book about a character that I've known forever, yet now I'm reading something that I,
and he has, you know, Superman doing shit like getting hit by a train.
Yeah,
and
getting
like,
beat
yeah.
up and fighting.
He's got a good.
Well, I mean, it's obviously
face.
Very much a throwback to the Golden Age
oh,
Superman
yeah,
stuff.
Obviously.
You know, he's fighting, you know, landlords
and
shit
like
that.
And I like that he's done. You know, he's done Superman in JLA. You know, the modern age, and now he's done, you know, the Silver Age and All Star
yeah.
Superman. So he's.
I think
Golden Age.
I think he
great.
Did a really nice job of sort of. What he said he wanted to do was just kind of take the essence of what makes Superman popular, why he's lasted for all these years, and try and tell a modern story with those strong elements.
Well,
and kind
you
of
know,
strip
what,
away everything
did
else.
You read
he just
us?
Went back to the beginning and just made him a hero
read,
of the people.
Did you read Super Gods, the Grant Morrison book about
I have not, no. Okay. No, God, no.
I read it.
I could, yeah, what did you think?
I thought it was... a lot of people kept referencing it as like a great history book. It's not a great history book because
it's his history.
I mean, he's not trying to pass off as some. It's his viewpoint of
right.
the comics. But I think it is. I always enjoy hearing someone who really likes something explain why they like it, and be able to sort of explain what it is
right.
about comics that he likes. And, you know, some of it's sort of course, rambly and kind of goes off in weird places. But overall, you kind of, like, leave it going, like, yeah, comics are awesome. You know, like,
well,
this is
yeah.
very
mean,
he genuinely
positive.
Loves
yeah.
comics.
Yeah.
Like, he really likes comics. And you walk away from it like, yeah, comics are...
It's weird, though. Like, I almost get a feeling like he's sort of... all of a sudden that's become a bit of his persona. Not that he hasn't always loved comics, but it seems like all of a sudden, like, he's really sort of pushing that, like, Grant Morrison loves comics, you know? And
yeah.
it's almost like a reaction to, like, Alan Moore and some of the other, you know...
Who've sort of been like,
comics suck
yeah,
now,
yeah.
yeah, you know what I mean? Like, it's almost like, well, wait a minute, I still, you know...
I still like comics.
Yeah, you know, it's like, okay, Grant, we get
but
it.
But it is really
never
interesting.
Never hear Mark Waid say... Comics suck.
No, yeah,
you
I don't
would
think
never
we'll
hear that. But
Mark Waid writes a damn fine comic.
Doesn't he?
Yeah, he does.
He's a good writer. But yeah, I thought it was really interesting. You know, just his viewpoints on. I mean, some of it's just like, I liked Adam Warlock because I was taking acid at the time or whatever. But then there'd
okay.
be things where he'd be talking about
eloquent
you know,
in
yeah,
his explanation
talking about why, you know, his favorite comics are. Silver Age Flash stories, which of course is the right answer. you know. But just like sort of
Tom
like,
set this it's like
sort
this
of
is
breaking
now my favorite
it down.
Book.
I love the idea that Tom reads a book, almost a biography of someone waiting for them to say the right
answers.
Answer.
That's the right answer.
And you are correct, sir.
It is the best. But it, I mean, it goes into more than that, where he's like, you know, it's the sort of great modern comic because it's like all these. It's science run amok, you know, like
all the
rogues are various sort of elements of science, and the Flash is a scientist, like trying to put in everything back in
yeah.
order constantly. And
well, and if you think about it, I guess, and maybe he even touched on it, is just like, you know, Barry is the result of science,
yeah.
you know,
yeah.
like
chaos, yeah.
like, you know, chaotic, you know, yeah, that's interesting.
It's a long book, I will say. It actually ends up being pretty long, and there's parts of it that are sort of boring, but you can just skip those. And like,
no,
there's
Grant's,
parts of it
Grant's,
that are really interesting.
Grant Morrison is definitely the same in that same sort of vein for me, like a Lynch, where it's like frustrating more than anything. Like
you see the genius,
and then it's just like, oh, you just completely lost me there.
Yeah.
You just there's I can't.
And I think sometimes with that, though, too, is, you know, not because there are Grant Morrison books I don't love or anything, but I always say the thing that I do respect about Morrison is I never don't feel like anything he does fails because he's not trying or not.
Because of laziness?
Yeah, like, right, or right. Because it's like, I'm just going to write out this. Yeah. Like, it might fail for other reasons. Yeah. Like, it might fail because it doesn't make any sense.
No,
but,
I think, and maybe that's why it's so frustrating, is because I'm a big...
Very ambitious, but sometimes beyond his grasp.
The foot is always on the pedal.
I think for me, it's like I'm a believer, and I really want intent, you know, in an artist. Mm. Like, I really appreciate an artist with intent, and whether that's a writer or an illustrator or anything, whatever you do, I want that, and so that I think that's part of my frustration is like sometimes I just go, well, what the fuck were you trying to do? Like, what do you know what I mean? Like, that's the frustrating part of like, what do you know? Because I can accept.
I think part of it too, though, is. I think a lot of times as consumers, we assume the final product is like the perfect version of what the creators wanted.
Well,
like this
true,
is like, yeah. Well, this is exactly how I wanted it to be. Whereas I think in reality, it very often does not turn out exactly.
Weren't we talking about the Green Lantern movie? Before
yeah, I
we
mean,
started recording?
You can have very good intents on
no,
doing
that's
something,
true,
and you
that's
can,
true.
And it can just turn out shitty.
Different,
like it
yeah.
just turns out not. The way you wanted it to turn out. Green Lantern movie.
Green Lantern movie.
Green Lantern movie.
Yeah, that was not good. That was not good.
You had actually, back to TV for a second, you had suggested something to me, and I tracked it down.
Last season of that Housewives show?
Desperate Housewives?
Project Runway.
Last season?
Nope, but Top Chef did start this week, and we're going to have at least 5 of the 16 chefs are from Chicago, which is kind of cool.
Okay.
Grimm.
Oh, yeah, Grimm. The new episode tonight, I think.
Is it Friday night?
Yeah, I think I saw, because I watched that on Hulu or something.
Tell me about this show. What is this?
Grimm is kind of interesting. I liked it.
Is it the Fables ripoff?
No. That's Once Upon a Time.
There's two Fables-ish shows on Once Upon a Time, which I've not seen. And
so what is Grimm about?
It's more like Fables meets Buffy the Vampire Slayer,
yeah.
I think is how you described it. Yeah. And that's pretty
well, just,
pretty
it
apt.
Felt very, it had a very, it's basically a show about it's a guy who's a cop. And you start to find out that he is the last member in his family. He's the last living member of his family. And this family has some sort of lineage. And now that his aunt is dying, that sort of whatever comes with that is being bestowed onto him. And it's not really a blessing, more sort of a curse.
Mm.
But...
In TV, it's rarely a blessing.
Basically, he can see things now. He sees monsters, and there are monsters in the world. And evidently,
schizophrenia.
Very much no. Grimm, I think, is a play obviously on the Brothers Grimm, the Fables Brothers Grimm. And so, like in the first episode, he's tracking down a serial killer, and the serial killer seems to be taking young girls who all wear red hoodies. And you find out as the episode goes on that it follows Red Riding Hood kind of thing. But but as that's going on, he starts to find out that for whatever he is a Grimm. He they don't come out and say it, but it seems like he is in the line of the Brothers Grimm and whatever he can
and
see
the,
monsters.
And the Grimms are basically
monster hunters.
Monster
hunters,
yeah. Fable hunters.
Yeah, whatever.
But
you find
Fable's
out
trademark. Yeah, it's a monster.
You find out that there's all sorts of these creatures in the world, and some are good, some are bad, and you don't.
Some
know,
are indifferent.
Some are indifferent. Some yeah, and
some are following a program.
Yes, and he's he's learning about it as you do. So he's kind of freaked out. But the first episode, I really enjoyed. It did have kind of a funny. It didn't take itself too seriously. It was well done. I like the main guy.
Is it on Hulu?
I think so. Yeah.
So, okay.
I record. I DVR'd the first episode.
And I've decided that I want an Airstream like that.
Well, yeah, you and everybody else. That's why spoilers. They're going for fucking, you know,
there's
like
an Airstream in it.
$150,000 for one of those.
Chris,
things.
No, I want one decked out with all the weapons.
Oh, all the
Chris. Ah, yeah. Spoilers.
Yeah, he's just spoiling it out for you. But it was pretty good. But the other one, the Once Upon a Time, which is a not a straight Fables ripoff,
but very. But
somebody involved with that show is.
I would
Fables.
Be shocked if yeah they had yeah, but that one I it was okay, but it was. It was cheesier,
okay.
You know, like it wasn't, I don't know, it was, it took itself more serious than Grimm, but it came off
goofier.
Yeah, it was weird, but it wasn't bad. Like I watched two episodes of it. The second episode, I kind of liked a little bit more, but yeah, I kept watching this going, holy fuck, so Willingham just must be fucking pissed off. Those guys, Bill, I mean, it's just like, this is, basically it's, Snow White and I don't know who the evil witch, whoever the queen.
Is the big bad wolf in it?
Not yet.
Well, I'm sure.
But there's a sheriff that's got a beard, so I'm assuming he's going to turn into a wolf at some point.
Shit.
But
the sheriff is the big bad wolf.
William. He better sue. They haven't showed yet. But, like, it was a little too heavy-handed. Basically, the concept was you have all these fables, and they're telling it in sort of flashback, and there's this Snow White is married to Prince Charming, and they have a baby. And on the sort of on their wedding night, the queen comes, and she is pissed off at Snow White for some reason, and she threatens to ruin everyone's lives, and she's going to put a giant curse, whatever. And she ends up putting a curse on the entire fable land, but the curse is basically that it removes all the fables from the fable world.
And they have to move to Worcester.
No, and they are all forced to this little town
My
in
name
Maine.
Is Snow White.
This little town in Maine called Storybrooke, and they all forget that they're
Tom Brady's
fables.
The greatest quarterback of all time.
That they all become Red Sox fans.
Wes Welker plays the game the right way.
But in the meantime, Snow White's daughter was Superman-esque in a Superman-esque kind of way. They sent her away before the curse mm-hmm. came, and she came here before all of us, and she was she lived in foster homes. She grew up not knowing who her parents were, blah, 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 blah. And now she's back in Storybrooke, and she's trying to remove the curse, I guess. I don't know.
Is Bill Willingham having a nervous breakdown?
I would imagine he's a little pissed off, at least a little bit. I mean, it's not a straight ripoff, but he's got to be
close enough.
Yeah, it's close enough. But like I said, it's a little, like, it was a little heavy-handed. Like, the evil queen, you know, obviously she tried to poison Snow White with an apple. Well, in our world, she's the mayor of this town, and she has this big apple tree, and, like, she offers everyone apples and applesauce.
Oh,
you know, it's just like,
all right,
I get it.
Would you like an apple?
Yeah, basically. Like, the first time you
remember
see her,
at the beginning when I tried to poison someone with an apple?
Exactly.
Remember?
That's
you were
much.
Watching that 25 minutes ago, remember?
Yeah. But, little bit of that.
Then I won't watch that. There
were parts of it that I did like.
That's
though.
Definitely
were,
on Hulu. I saw it and I was thinking of watching it, and I was like, wait.
Yeah, it seemed like it was a bit more for the soap opera crowd or the sort of Desperate Housewives crowd than for the
What
nerd
night of the week
crowd.
Is it on?
I don't even know.
I don't
Wednesdays,
know.
Wednesdays, Thursdays.
Everything's on Friday.
Maybe Friday. But Grimm's on Friday. I think a new
episode's
on
Sunday. Sunday's actually.
Grimm? Then
no.
Really?
No.
Oh, Once Upon a Time.
That's when Desperate Housewives is on.
Damn it.
Conflict. Final season, guys.
Conflict.
Final season.
Oh. I curl on Sundays. So.
Of course you do. Of course you go curling. Go curling.
Curling like a man.
I don't. Finally broke my cable ties when I moved. I don't
cut
have cable. Cut cable. Just have Netflix, Hulu Plus.
I love the Hulu Plus.
Get stuff on Amazon. Yeah. I have a Roku, you know, like
I love the Roku.
I wish Amazon would develop a goddamn app for my PS3 because I watch everything else on my PS3, but they don't have an Amazon.
I mean, if there's a show I like enough, I just buy it on Amazon.
Do you have the MLB app for the Roku?
Yeah.
It's great.
It is great. I don't miss cable at all, to be honest. Like
I've been trying to get my wife to cut our DirecTV for
if there's something that I honestly want to watch, we just get it on Amazon.
You're going to lose that DirecTV sponsorship, guys.
Oh, shit. I'm sorry.
I did the same thing. I had done the same thing. I canceled all my cable and everything, and then I The only reason I got like AT&T UVerse on one TV in my house because they basically it was a deal where it was cheaper than if I didn't have it because I have my cell phones and everything. Yeah. So like, they're like, well, we'll bundle everything and it'll be $10 less than what you're paying now. So I'm like, okay, well, then that's fine. Put it on one TV. My kids are a little happier because my daughter was not real happy. She couldn't watch, you know, Phineas and Ferb.
Do your kids watch this the thing called The Regular Show?
I don't believe so.
I watched that when I had cable.
Wood and Vince love this show. Is it on Cartoon Network?
Yes.
It's
pretty funny.
Yeah, it's supposed to be really funny.
The Regular Show.
Regular show.
No, I don't.
You should look it up. It is pretty funny.
My kids don't watch
it's
that
it's
much.
What, a badger and a blue jay or something?
Like a raccoon and a blue jay. It is funny. It is. I will attest to the fact that it does make me laugh. And I have very high standards for what I watch. I don't watch a lot of junk.
My kids don't watch that much TV, honestly. They watch, like, my daughter will watch some girly shows like iCarly. Some other shit.
I've been reading a lot.
Jack watches a lot of...
I've been reading a lot of history books. I watched so many horror movies before Halloween.
Really?
Just because I was sitting around the house, you know?
Like newer horror movies or old
classics?
Just
whatever I could find
there's a lot of bad... I was looking through Netflix, like, there's a lot of bad horror movies on there.
I watched a lot of trauma movies that were on the Netflix streaming.
Toxic Avenger.
Yeah,
watched Toxic Avenger.
Mother's Day.
Nice.
Yeah, and...
what did I watch?
I watched the worst horror movie ever. The Ginger Dead Man.
I don't know.
Oh, I've seen that available
with Gary Busey.
Well, anything with Gary Busey.
Ugh. Yeah.
It's not good.
I'm going to murder you. I'm a cookie.
I'm a cookie man.
Have you guys ever seen Trick or Treat?
No, I saw that available for streaming.
It was good. I enjoyed it a lot.
Halloween night, I watched Halloween.
Nice. Very good.
Yeah, and I was like, oh, yeah, Halloween's
I usually always do every year. I usually watch Halloween. This year, I actually didn't. Yeah. I saw
a good documentary.
I watched Return of the Living Dead.
Between Halloween, like Friday the 13th, and what's the one with Jason? Wait, that is Friday the 13th. And Nightmare on Elm Street. Of those three franchises, which is the one that you...
Halloween's my favorite. I agree with you.
As far as
Halloween, the first Halloween movie is one of my favorite all-time movies. I've seen it.
The
so
first
many
Nightmare
times.
On Elm Street's awesome.
I was going to say I am partial to the first.
And I believe it's Johnny Depp's first.
I don't think it holds up as well as like Halloween does because it's.
Yeah.
It's too time relevant, and it's very effects heavy, and it's set in a very particular time frame where Halloween it's a little more general. You know what I mean?
If you're a babysitter, you're gonna be scared.
And there's just no effects in it. I mean, it's straightforward.
It's really straightforward.
Yeah.
It's
a great movie.
I do love watching Halloween.
Oh, it's so good.
Lonnie, get your ass away from that.
I don't know why.
That one.
My wife
every
had
year
never
you
seen,
bring that one
I know,
up.
I know.
Sam had never seen Halloween.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow. Did she like it? Did she watch
some of it. She was like, that's pretty good.
You know what I did watch this Halloween was Young Frankenstein.
Oh.
I watched that with my kids. I was trying to find something. It was one night we were sitting there. And I was trying to find something, you know, that the kids could kind
of
watch.
That's my dad's favorite movie of all time. I've seen Young Frankenstein probably 1,000 times.
So I turn on Young Frankenstein, and, you know, I'm like, I don't know how my kids are going to react to this. And they're like, what the heck? What is this? Black and white? They had no interest.
Yeah, your wife refuses to watch.
Yeah, my wife will not watch black and white movies.
It's Young Frankenstein. Shut up. It's funny. You're
so I didn't say anything. I'm like, yeah, just watch it. So. And like 10 minutes in it, they are rolling, laughing. They're just dying because it's hilarious. It's just
Frankenstein.
Yeah, it's amazing. Did you see Mel Brooks and it was an HBO special that just came out not too long ago?
No,
it was Mel Brooks and what's his name? The talk show host, older
Dick Cavett.
Dick Cavett and Mel Brooks together again. It was like an hour-long special on HBO of them two just sitting down talking and reminiscing. It's really good. If you
was
can
it again?
Track it down. Yeah, it's pretty funny.
I like Mel Brooks.
Yeah, me too.
I like Young
and Carl Reiner's in the audience. Yeah.
Nice.
Young Frankenstein, like my dad loved that. My dad loved Mel Brooks movies.
Yeah.
Just like High Anxiety.
Oh, yeah.
Young Frankenstein, you know, like I must have seen those movies like 9,000 times. You know?
Blazing Saddles.
Like before I ever saw the actual Frankenstein movie. Or any Young Frankenstein. That, yeah, Young Frankenstein. I saw that first, you know. And then I was like, I don't get some of these jokes. Because, you know, unless you know sort of like right. the traditional Frankenstein movie sort of tropes, like some of the jokes don't exactly
work. Like how's he like Robin Hood, Men in Tights?
Oh, that's not as good.
Well, you know. He had a few flops.
Spaceballs was the last great. Mel Brooks.
Yeah. I don't know what happened to Mel. He just...
Still around. He's doing Broadway plays.
No, I know. I'm not saying that. I'm just... Like, all of a sudden, he started to make... Not as funny as movies.
People's sense of humor... I think culturally, the sense of humor changed a little bit.
Yeah, and he certainly... I mean, if you go back and look at some of that stuff, it's like, oh, yeah, you couldn't say that today. Like, you know, yeah. I mean, some of the stuff that they like said...
Blazing Saddles.
Oh, my God, yeah. And I didn't know until recently that Richard Pryor co-wrote Blazing Saddles.
Yeah.
I didn't know that.
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah,
I had no idea. That, and now I look at it, oh, okay.
Of course,
why didn't he fucking... Why wasn't he in it? Why wasn't he the sheriff?
There's something that... I forget what the reason is, but there was something that...
He was too high.
He was coked up.
Yeah.
When did Blazing Saddles come out?
Oh,
about
man.
75 or so?
I'm trying to think of what Richard
later,
Pryor was.
I want to say later than that.
Was it later than that?
He might have been too fucked up to actually do it. to actually be in the movie.
We can take a break and go to the cloud.
Looks like Blazing Saddles was actually earlier than I thought. It was 1970.
What's in 1975?
I was only 3 years old when it came out.
Yeah.
You guys,
I wasn't
even born.
Right? I wasn't born yet.
I was just a year old.
I was but a glimmer in my parents' eyes.
Imagine what was going on in the set of Blazing Saddles, but you know, when we were just children, just crazy,
pretty crazy shit. Some lunatic stuff.
But I was saying to Tom, and I'm like, I wonder whatever happened to. Cleavon Little, the sheriff.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I always wondered, like, what happened to that dude? He was so good in that movie. Amazingly good. You would think that would be a breakout.
He probably went on to.
But I don't know what he went on to do. Let's take a look. IMDb.
Maybe he had done a lot of stuff before.
Maybe.
Sort of.
I don't know. But he just seemed like, man, he had. He was so. Like, to me, in a strange way...
He was the movie.
Well, no, yeah, absolutely. But, like, almost a sort of Sidney Poitier kind of... In a different way, like, you know what I mean? Like, transformative sort of role. Like, it was amazing. It was unbelievable. But, I don't know. Yeah, he didn't... I don't think he went on to do a whole lot. He did Tales from the Crypt in 1989.
Everyone did Tales from the Crypt.
Oh, I watched Creepshow while
he did MacGyver. Oh. He was on MacGyver.
Creepshow was so good.
Perfect Harmony... Yeah, he didn't do a whole hell. Fletch Lives. Yeah, this guy's career did not take off.
Guys, when are we gonna get? When are we gonna get a Fletch reboot?
He was on Elf.
Oh, Fletch. It's got it. Who
would play Fletch?
Didn't they? Weren't they gonna do a Fletch?
Yeah, they were.
I thought so. There's nobody funny anymore. Let's see.
Who's funny?
Who's funny? Like physical, funny, clever.
It'd be like Jimmy Kimmel.
Oh,
and I don't hate Jimmy Kimmel, but
no,
that's not right. That's I don't even
reboot
know.
Reboot Fletch.
Fletch. Rebootfletch.com.
Yeah. Tumblr.tumblr.
Yeah, they'll put
Tumblr.
Reboot Fletch.
Green Lantern.
I watched Creepshow. I forgot how comic booky. I forgot that Creepshow is completely a comic book.
Yeah. Like chapters.
And I was like, I forgot. I had not seen that movie in years.
I still can't watch the last one. Is it the last one with the cockroaches?
Yeah.
Oh, that still disturbs the fuck out of me because I just...
I love the one with
the
big lake, like, moss monster.
What?
That was Creepshow where they're swimming in the lake and it's the big mass of
I think
goo.
You're thinking of...
that was Creepshow, wasn't it?
No.
Creepshow was the dude, the thing on the airplane.
Yeah.
The family, the fucked up.
Maybe it's Creepshow 2.
with the family, right?
Wait, Creepshow has Stephen King getting covered with that strange plant stuff. It's got the animal, the creature in the crate that came from like Nepal. It's got the cockroaches.
Right.
What are the first stars? Thinking of that? You're thinking of something else. Are you thinking of
Twilight Zone?
You're thinking of Twilight Zone.
I'm thinking of Twilight Zone.
You're thinking of Twilight Zone.
But I didn't remember the cockroaches.
The cockroaches, the like werewolf creature in a crate that's underneath the stairs.
Stephen King
is a farmer who finds a meteorite and it gets covered in moss. I forget what the
I don't know what you're thinking of. The swamp monster.
Well, there's one. Well, it's not a swamp. They're out swimming in a lake and it's like some big goo monster, and the guy gets to the beach and he's like, I beat you.
Oh,
and then it jumps out of
Creepshow
the lake.
Has Leslie Nielsen burying Ted Danson in sand and drowning.
And then they come back to get vengeance
on Leslie Nielsen in a non funny role.
He was a serious actor. Not a very good one, but.
Maybe it might be Creepshow too off to go.
I don't know. I don't remember.
Dude, what are you talking about?
I was thinking of Twilight Zone with the fucked up family, with the kid that controlled the family, and then the guy on the plane.
There's something on the wing.
White TV.
Did you ever see Puppet Master? You guys ever watch Puppet Master, the horror movie? Oh, fucking Puppet Master is the bomb.
Have you ever watched
Puppet Master's awesome.
Go watch
Puppet Master.
I watched The Burning. Have you ever seen that? It was really early. It was like one of those camp type movies. It's Jason Alexander.
Wow, really?
First movie role.
After the McDonald's commercial.
Yeah, I mean, like it's also like Helen Hunt's first.
Wow.
Role. I mean, it's not a great movie, but it does feature like five kids getting decapitated like in 30 seconds at one point, which I'm like. That is impressive.
That is, yeah. I love, it's funny. I used to love horror movies. Like, I was a horror movie junkie. Anything macabre, anything horror. And not like, I wasn't ever really into, like, the gore splatter stuff. I mean, I watched it, but that wasn't my favorite stuff. And then all of a sudden, I just, like, kind of got out of it. Like, I didn't
watch
it.
The Howling ruined me. As a kid.
I watched The Howling before.
I watched The Howling as, like, a 10-year-old kid, and I was just like, I don't want to watch horror movies ever again.
Two werewolves having sex.
I was going to say, American Horror Story, we didn't really talk about it, but I mentioned it.
American Horror Story,
the new show on FX.
Yeah.
It's, if you like Twin Peaks, I think you'll like, it's fucked up. Like, I watched, I'm like, I can't believe that was on television. Like, it's so weird. Fucking creepy, scary, good. I think if you like Twin Peaks, I think you'll, because it's fucking bizarre, but good, like really well done.
I'll get to it.
Yeah.
Right in the middle of rewatching every Star Trek: The Next Generation episode.
Wow. You are not.
It's available though, streaming. You can watch them on Netflix.
I've seen them all. I was rewatching
Friday Night Lights, all five episodes.
I watched the first episode with my wife Sam, and we really liked it. And then I forget what happened. For some reason, we didn't. And then we got caught up in something else. Like, that's the thing with how things stream. Like, everything's streaming now. Like, all of a sudden, you'll be like, "Oh, the next season of Breaking Bad came out," and then we just kind of watched Breaking Bad
for a while,
and then we lost track.
Yeah, you
kind of
go ebb and flow of going into shows.
Of
yeah, I do
stuff.
The same thing.
And now I have no concept of when anything's actually on TV.
Like,
what night is it on? I'm like, I don't know.
No idea. I don't watch anything on podcast television. Well, and they actually are getting to the point now where that was a thing. Like, shows, they would have shows that nobody was watching it live, and so they were sort of failing in the ratings, and then they started realizing, oh, wait, everyone's DVRing the show and watching it later. Everybody's streaming it later, and it's like, it's changing the model of how people just, it's like, I don't have time to sit down and try and watch friggin', Thursday night. I'll watch it on Sunday afternoon when I got nothing going on.
Yeah.
You know, the Bears suck or, whatever. But
I'm sorry.
Yeah, well.
Shut yeah, up. I was going to say, you can give me shit about the baseball thing, but you're getting ready to celebrate another Super Bowl championship, so stick it. My wife and I watch Doc Martin.
Doc Martin.
It's a British show. Oh, I love it. But
when is
I was
going hello, Doc Martin.
Yeah, it's I'm going to New York Comic Con, and the one person my wife is like, oh, you need to go see this person is Ian McNeice, who played Churchill in Doctor Who.
Oh, okay.
And he's a regular character on Doc Martin.
Okay. Did you get something signed by him?
No, I never found him. That was the thing about New York. I never found anyone I was looking for. Too many damn people.
Man. Does this place have grits?
Hey,
hominy? Some hominy, some grits?
I did not ask for grits. I asked for biscuits and gravy.
Did you get really drunk in New York this time?
I did not. I have, you know.
He hasn't gotten drunk the last couple of cons.
Have you calmed down a little bit?
It's about 3 years since I got piss face drunk at a.
At a con?
Hell, it's C2E2. I think you got drunker than I did last year.
Yeah.
Did you?
But I control myself when I'm drunk.
Yeah. No,
it's hard to tell.
Yeah.
I'm a good boy now. I just can't get out from under the shadow of my reputation.
Well, that's the problem with the reputation.
You spent a long time creating that.
Yes, I did.
Hey, before we move on, I did want to ask you guys, what do you think, we were talking about, you know, the on-demand, you know, how television has become on-demand, movies and music and everything is, like, instantly at your fingertips. And comics now, you know, like...
Are getting there.
So, you know, that's going to be sort of interesting where, you know, like you were saying, I think you were saying on Twitter or something I was reading, where you were talking about everything is new. To somebody now, like it doesn't matter how old a show is, you can sit
you can
down and watch
it,
the whole goddamn
it's
thing
new.
As if it's brand
if
new.
If you've never seen Twin Peaks or didn't even know what it is, it is available as much as Friday Night Lights is available as much as anything's
maybe
available.
More so. You know, the older stuff, and that like you know it, when if it get we ever get to the point with comics where it's like, oh well, I just want to read Spider-Man from the beginning,
you can
and you can't, you know, like at a reasonable, you know.
I don't like modern Spider-Man. I like 1980s Spider-Man. You could read 1980s Spider-Man.
Yeah.
It doesn't matter. It's all the same.
Yeah. It's going to get to that.
There's no longer that thing where it's like, that's old and you can't find
enjoy
it.
Enjoy it.
And
right?
That's
you can't
done.
Get
that's not
it.
For you anymore. Like, now it's come all the way around where it's like, you've never heard of Twin Peaks? It's on Netflix.
There it is.
The same
have
as
you ever
everything.
Seen that show?
Yeah.
Have you seen this new show?
Yeah, it's not like...
well,
it's funny because all my friends are watching Twin Peaks at the same... Like, it's one of those weird things where everyone... A lot of people you know start watching
something
like
old
just,
at the same
that,
time.
At the same time for no... It just became available and everyone's like, oh, Twin
Some
Peaks.
Sort of weird
well,
shared consciousness.
I mean, they just launched a remake of a British show here in the States called Prime Suspect. And it's
Maria Bello.
Yeah.
Maria
my
Bello.
Wife
and I
and
enjoy it.
And that's she was in Red.
Helen Mirren.
Helen Mirren was in the British version, and I want to go back and watch that.
Yeah, don't you think, though, that the thing that still weirds me out is I'm actually surprised that they still do remakes like that because it's become so much easier. They fail terribly, and it's... It's no longer the case where you can't see the British version.
Right.
We have to we're going to remake it. No one in America has ever heard of it.
Ever seen it.
Like, everyone knows the original. You know, like,
I think now it doesn't matter. I think, like, The Office sort of crossed that barrier.
I was just
going to
say that.
It's like, I don't care. I want an American version of it because...
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Like the 10% rule that if one out of 10 of them succeed wildly... Then it's worth it. It's for every.
I mean, I
for every
seen,
like life on Mars.
I haven't seen Prime Suspect, but I will say
good.
That the thing that.
But I think it's going to fail.
The thing with the Office is that the American Office is based on the UK Office, but very very Americanized.
It didn't become popular until it found itself as its own show and stopped.
Well, it was Steve Carell really. Mm-hmm. I mean, he. Was able to make it its own thing.
Yeah, but there's all there's the because
he's funnier than
there's
Rick
all these little things about there's all these he's a better actor.
Yeah.
There's things in the you know like that's so different between the U.S. and U.K. one. Like in the U.S. one, you never see any characters. Everyone's good at like as bad as Steve Carell's character is at managing people. He's a good salesman.
Right.
You know, like
right.
People, no one's just bad and sucks.
Yeah.
And
well,
like,
that's like Gervais's character is,
just sucks.
He sucks and he's miserable
and everyone
nothing
sucks.
Likeable.
And everyone,
everybody in that show. Well, I think, and
there's a different U.S.
And the
like,
reality is, the reality, you know, it's like you or I or Chris, you know, we all will watch a British show if we like the show.
Not a lot of other people.
A huge percentage of the population is never, ever going to turn on a British show unless it's Benny Hill. You know what I mean? Like, it's just not going to happen.
I noticed this.
When are they going to remake Benny Hill?
Oh, God.
Soon.
I notice this whenever I watch like mainstream TV that'll have a British personality on it, and they'll subtitle it.
Well, I'll tell you
and
what.
And I watch enough British TV that I have
with
no
the
problem
Office,
with it.
With The Office, when I first started watching the British version of The Office,
they have
subtitles on the DVDs, because I was like, I can't understand what these fuckers are saying. I could literally, sometimes I couldn't understand.
The way it's filmed is very, like, sort of... Like people
casual.
Like, yeah.
It's very yeah. It's
people aren't like talking loudly into the camera.
Yeah,
you know,
yeah,
like,
they're just sort of conversating like yeah. they really do, and you miss stuff. But it was, yeah. That I think that's certainly part of it. I think you just have a large percentage of the population. My wife has never. I don't care how good of a show it would be. She's never ever going to watch a British television show. Yeah. It's not going to happen. there's just no reason, for her.
So comic book fans, no matter how good it is, I'm just never going to read 2000 AD.
There you go. Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah,
I
read American comics.
American only. I had a giant blow-up eagle with stars and stripes on it.
When
in
you
my
make
work today.
An American,
we did.
That's not even
God.
A lie.
No,
that's
shit.
Not a lie, my friend.
Tell him what we drove up to.
We drive up to work.
America.
Literally huge,
60
thing,
feet,
60 foot tall blow-up American eagle with fucking stars and stripes on its chest. It's for our big 3 days, and I'm like,
huge
is it 4th
sale.
Of July? Yeah, 3 days. We're having a 3 day sale this weekend at our work. And I'm just like, is it the 4th of July? What the fuck? Why do we have a giant...
I asked him why the American Eagle. And they
three-day
said,
sale,
and
dude.
They said it's really windy, and so they were a little afraid of having the huge blow-up gorilla.
Oh, man, the gorilla's sweet, though. The big purple
Listen,
gorilla.
Bro, this is America.
This is America. We sell to Americans.
We sell to Americans. Or legal
it's pretty
immigrants.
I'm just like, well, you don't see that every day. You don't drive up to a giant American
Eagle.
Giant
eagle. It'd be great if it was Sam the Eagle.
Yeah, that would be great. Yeah.
Weirdos. Bunch of weirdos.
Yeah, hey, new Muppets coming out.
I'm pretty
you guys like the kids see Muppets?
I don't know. My kids, I haven't really seen much Muppets.
My nephew loves Sesame Street, which is still a Muppet-based thing.
Yeah.
So, I don't know. Like,
I'm sure my kids would like the Muppets, but they just haven't been exposed. Like, with my kids... My wife and I both kind of took the attitude of like, well, we're not going to try and force
our childhood
our yeah, stuff on them. Like, they like what they like.
You will watch Mighty Mouse.
You know, they've gravitated towards the superhero stuff, but I, because it's there, it's like, I don't, I certainly don't make them watch it, but if I'm watching it, they want to watch it, that kind of thing. Muppets, they haven't, I just don't think they've seen much Muppet. I think I did try and sit down and watch Muppets Take Manhattan with them once, and they weren't really that interested in it. Yeah, they weren't.
One of my nephews has a friend. He's like 3 years old, and his friend is like five. But his friend saw Star Wars, the original Star Wars, like it was just on like TV,
right.
And became obsessed like immediately. And I was just
go ahead.
But he just was like, "What is like?"
Oh my God!
Yeah,
there was a guy on the 11 o'clock boards that did a YouTube video, and it was the coolest thing. His son was probably 7, and started him out watching the original Star Wars trilogy, like Episode 4, and filmed him in the Darth Vader reveal in Empire.
That was
Strikes
a kid. That was a guy off the. Because I saw that video, but not on 11 o'clock comedy.
Yeah.
I just saw it on YouTube.
Yeah, it was an 11 o'clock listener. That
really?
That
I thought it was fake.
Really?
Yeah. Because the kid's looking at the camera before.
Well, he's looking at his dad
yeah.
filming him.
It's like, where are you filming me, Dad?
I don't think it's an 11 o'clock comics listener. I think it's just a YouTube video.
I would attest. I think it's. I
think it's completely fake.
I think the kid probably was surprised, but. When he
hamming
first saw
it up, you think he was hamming it up a little?
Yeah,
hamming it up
because
the
kid
hammer.
Is like he's like waiting for yeah, like,
he's
like he's waiting for his cue of when to like
act surprise, son.
Act surprise. Yeah, but not. Listen, nothing against. Maybe it really happened, but when I saw it, I was like, there's something about this that strikes me as slightly.
I don't know because I have watched like my son has watched Star Wars. We haven't. He's not old. He's only 6, so, like, I don't even think he would get that yet.
Yeah.
But what the hell was it? We were watching something. We were watching Star Wars, and I don't remember which one, and something happened. It wasn't that reveal, but it's something that happened, and he just kind of looked at me like, what the fuck? I mean, he was just like, and he did have like a face, and I'm like, it just blew his mind. Like, he could not believe it. And it, like I said, it wasn't the...
Han Solo came back to... He does have a heart of gold.
I can't remember.
It's all yours, kid.
I can't.
Why is he turning his targeting computer
off? No, it was
off?
Something
this
like...
This is ridiculous.
It was something like... Because he started off watching, like, episode one, and then we went up.
Was it a look of, like, oh, this sucks,
Jar Jar Binks, you know.
Dad, this is racist.
No, he actually loves the shit.
Yeah.
But, no, we got to, like, A New Hope, and I think it was something to do with, like, the fact that it was, like, old Ben Kenobi was the same. It was Ewan McGregor was now old or something, yeah. Or maybe it was something like R2 was still around, and like, but it was something like that, and he was just like, what the fuck? This is, you know, I mean, and he didn't say that, but I mean, just the look on his face is just like, you know, it kind of
why
just
did
shocked.
Darth Vader yell no?
So
the great question is, how do you show your kids Star Wars now? Where do you start? Do you start at episode one? Do you start at episode four? I just don't know.
Yeah, you know.
Whatever.
I will say proudly that my son, when asked what his favorite Star Wars was, he did pick Empire.
Yeah,
it's the best one. Yeah, I know. But for a six-year-old, but he does like the original, or he likes the episode 1, 2, and 3. I mean, he fucking thinks they're cool. He thinks they're awesome. I mean, and they look awesome. I mean, you know, honestly, and I'll say, I think episode 2 and 3 are not bad. Episode 1's a piece of shit, but
episode one is fucking
bad. It's just bad. I have a hard time even watching it. But
have you ever watched the Red Letter Media like reviews of the prequels? There's this guy who does these very in-depth reviews of. They're great. They're on YouTube. Of like what's wrong with the prequels, and he points at, but it's not just like, oh, this is lame. It's stuff like, listen, why in every situation where you have Anakin and Obi-Wan. And there's a chance for someone to do something dangerous. Obi-Wan's the one that does it, something dangerous, and Anakin doesn't. Though everything would tell you that it should be Anakin's the one who is reckless. Yeah, reckless. You know, like pointing out all these things about the story. Like there's all this
inconsistencies.
Stuff.
Just doesn't make just shit.
Or
that
like
make sense.
If you watch the special features to episode one in the part where Lucas, they're done watching the movie, the screening, they show everyone watching it for the first time. And the look on everyone's face is not a look of, like, yeah, we nailed it. It's a look of, like,
oh my
what
God.
The fuck was that? We just watched.
Well, I've been waiting 15
we got paid,
years
right?
for this shit.
Yeah. Like, what just happened? Did we seriously just have a little kid accidentally fly a ship around? Like, what?
The kid's, like, 3. He can't even keep his head up with the helmet on.
He's like,
what the fuck? And he's supposed to be a great Jedi? Fuck you. Yeah.
That's but it's pretty good. They're pretty good reviews, but they're beyond just like, oh, lames.
Right.
You know, like, they're like, listen, there's all these times in these stories where when Lucas has to pick one of two things to do, he consistently picks the wrong one. like wouldn't it make more
wisely.
Sense if it was, you know, like the parts where Anakin and Padme are like arguing if whether they should have a relationship, and he's like, it should be. Why does she care if they're in a relationship? She's just like a fucking senator. Like, why does she need to be talked into anything? It should be her trying to convince him because he can't be the one.
Right.
You know, like, that would make more sense if she was tempting him and he, like, you know, like, fell out of what he was supposed to be doing.
I don't know what Lucas. I mean,
It's the neck parasite. Whatever is living in his neck.
I tell you, I went and saw a rescreening of American Graffiti with Penny Marshall and Cindy Williams.
Yeah.
And
I like American
Fonz.
Graffiti.
I do too.
It's a good movie.
Yeah, it's a really good movie.
But they were actually
they were there.
The
they were there
yeah.
and they did a Q&A and stuff. And they were actually showing. They were showing 3 different movies. They were showing. American Graffiti, and then League of Their Own, and Night Shift.
Oh,
for the Fonz, Henry Winkler. So they're all 3 there doing a Q&A and everything. And obviously the questions, you know, came up about Henry or about Lucas and about Harrison Ford and stuff. And Cindy Williams was very she never said anything bad, which was interesting because the last screening that I went to was Some Like It Hot with Tony Curtis, and all that fucking dude did was badmouth Marilyn Monroe, which is just so weird. Like, he's just like basically calling her a dumb whore.
She's
like,
stupid.
Yeah.
She could barely act.
And it's just like, oh, what
I
the
had
fuck?
To carry that film.
But you know, people kept asking, well, what was Lucas, you know, what was George Lucas like? And she's like, he was a broke fucking kid filmmaker. Yeah, I don't know. Yeah. We were just a bunch
like
of kids. Like, we didn't
movie,
know. Yeah.
Can you imagine?
I loaned him $20 so that he could get home one
obviously
night.
Obviously,
you know,
the
like,
Lucas thing is that Lucas likes to go back and, like, dick around with every element of Star Wars. Imagine if comic book creators
went back and redid.
Could, like, just go back and, like, I don't like how I wrote that part. Like,
Tom.
Frank Miller.
Have you heard of Neil Adams?
Oh, yeah. Like, I didn't like how that I'm just going to change. But, I mean, like, more than that,
Batman,
like,
yeah.
change, like,
Reprint.
Writing,
yeah,
like,
right,
the
right.
writing of the stories and,
oh,
like,
God.
The plots
oh,
of the stories.
God, yeah.
Like, imagine if someone could just...
Like, if Alan Moore could go back and do Watchmen again now
oh,
after how pissed off he is about everything.
there are people...
It would be a mess.
there are people that I've told that I bought the Neil Adams Batman, you know, those really nice...
The hardcovers, yeah.
And there are people I've talked to about that are, like, angry at me for actually buying them because...
Why?
Because it's blasphemy what he's done in those, because he went back and reworked a lot of the art.
Get
over
yourself.
And recolored
people,
it
just,
and
you know,
well, he basically he was Lucas for comics before.
And that's the thing, like, hey, you know what, I don't care for all the shit that Lucas has put in the films, but you know what, they're his fucking films. He can do whatever the fuck he wants. He don't owe you
I
shit.
I think it's just I haven't spent money in a Star Wars movie in God knows how long,
right.
Because I'm just done with getting
right.
I just think it's really fascinating that this person created something that's like a cultural icon and can't
leave it alone.
Yeah. Like like not only changes it, but like feels compelled to constantly
keep changing,
tinkering with it, constantly sort of like. I just think it's fascinating. I think like
because you would think most filmmakers would just be like, it's done. I'm not, you know, it's over. It's I did that 20 years ago. I'm not going to.
But he, like, still.
Is still fucking with it every time.
Like,
he's
still making it, sort of.
Well, the weird
like,
thing is like.
At some point, he's going to start reworking, like, the Ewoks TV specials.
Well, the thing is, like, how could. You can't imagine that he's so insulated that he hasn't
heard
fans bitching about it. And yet he continues to think that what he's doing is the right. Like, it's good. It's making it better. Like, I'm making it better, you know, every time I fuck with
it's
it.
It's weird.
It is weird. Like, it's like, are you that sort of,
I don't know if we've ever...
Maniacal?
I don't know if there's
that?
Any other example of that, like, an art of someone who made some... Who, it's not just a movie. It's, like, a movie that's a huge cultural, like, touchstone for
it actually,
entire...
Like, transcends
sort
the
of
the
thing.
Movie
like,
now.
Everyone's
well,
seen Star Wars.
I mean,
you know?
Spielberg went back and removed the guns from E.T.
It's true.
You know, and that was...
That's true.
You know, I mean, that wasn't as much nearly, but it was sort of an interesting, you know, well, why, you know, why.
Oh, got Looney Tunes, but that wasn't because of the creators wanting to go back and change things. That was because of, you know.
But it would be interesting if Spielberg, like, in 3 years was like, no one eats Reese's Pieces anymore.
I'm
going to make
it
into like,
right.
Runts. No, or like.
Well, with E.T., he did
They're
actually
Skittles.
Do a few things. I mean, he did go in and put in some CGI stuff.
But I think part of it, too, is Spielberg has done things.
But it would be like, I'm going to go back to Jaws,
and
I'm going to put a CGI
shark
now.
In it.
I'm going to CGI
shark. Yeah, it is
shark.
Like that.
You know, that's
yeah.
what it would be like. And it'd be like, watching and going, wow, that shark looks fucking weird. Like, I know it was supposed to look more real, but it looks strangely unreal.
Well, what's great
in this movie
is that Spielberg would probably be the first person to admit that because the shark was so shitty, they didn't use it as much as they had originally planned, and that's why that film is so brilliant. And with
it was accidentally brilliant, I guess.
And sometimes that's the best kind of brilliance.
It was a mess, but it turned out. I mean, it turned out. Better than what he had planned
because we said you didn't get to
see the damn shark.
Episode 1 proves that great effects don't make a great movie.
Yeah.
No. The first ones were
It's also
were
strange
great.
Because Lucas is someone who made stuff before Star Wars, like American Graffiti.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And then it's like once he made Star Wars,
that's what
he became
that's
stuck
it.
On Star Wars for several decades.
And that's all he's done. And he hasn't done anything.
And he's obsessed over it.
Like, yeah, it's weird that, I mean, it's like, okay, you've made so much money from it. And there's no question of its import in history of film. And, I mean, it's never going to be forgotten.
Culturally.
It's culturally. Yeah, I mean, it's done so much. Why can't you fucking move on? You know, like, hey. Why can't you just move on and do something else, dude? Do something. I mean.
It's strange.
Any, you know, yeah, it is.
Such a strange compulsion. Like,
well, I know, like, I mean, you look at, like, he wanted to do it and no one wanted him to do that film.
Yeah.
So is it sort of a just like, well, you know, is he still in that mode of like, fuck you, I did it, you know what I mean? Like,
I don't know. I mean, I would think it would be, has anyone ever, I doubt anyone's
well,
ever
I mean,
had like
it,
a huge, I would love for him to do like an interview where someone just asks him about
just like sit down and go, like, what the fuck?
Or
what?
More, like,
well,
what do you
know,
think
but,
of Star Wars?
In all fairness,
like, what
I mean,
do you think of Star Wars?
Indy was his as well, so.
Well, but he, that was Spielberg's more so, I think, than
but,
Lucas.
Yeah.
Did you look at, you? I mean,
that's still,
it was his idea, it was his concept. And that's the thing. It's like, dude, how many times do you have to be proven that you have great ideas? You need someone to write your scripts for you. You need a cinematographer.
Yeah.
You need a director. You need a screenwriter. You get those people together with your awesome ideas, and you make phenomenal films. When you try and do it yourself, you don't have the talent. That's just not your talent. It's not your, you know, you're not that guy. You're not Steven Spielberg.
Oh,
and you know what?
Yeah.
Spielberg would sort of, you look at him, and it's like, he's a great director. He doesn't write his fucking story. You know what I mean? Like, he doesn't come up with the ideas for his stories. He uses other people's stories and creates awesome films from it. It's like, I think that's part of it, too. It's like, Lucas is trying to, you know, I don't know, he, like, tried to outdo Spielberg because there was always sort of that weird thing there. But yeah,
are we going to, now that we do like so many movies have so much CGI stuff, are there going to be other directors or other things where people now are going to go back and dick around with CGI effects? Like, everything's so
make them.
Yeah, everything gets remade.
Well, the interesting thing is you could
literally. When are we
going to
get our Avengers relaunch, guys? I'm already sick of the movie.
Think of this though, like. The way things are filmed now with so much green screen, you could literally go back.
Replace actors.
And replace entire parts of a film.
Yeah.
You know, because I'm sure that stuff's all still shot. You know, the way you shot it, huge green screen. You know, you look at 300. How much of that was a green screen? You could go back and change. Yeah, you know, like you could change
everything.
Yeah. Everything about that film if you wanted to, you know, with a computer.
Yeah,
it's just that's kind of crazy. Yeah, I don't know. I hopefully not. Hopefully someone. That's the with Star Wars is just like. I mean, it's
strange.
Just fucking leave it alone. Just it's do something
strange.
Else, man. We're you know.
Yeah.
What are you doing? Quit fucking around with you know.
But it's amazing because those Blu-rays came out and everyone bought them and everyone's like, I can't believe you made the changes, but I'm gonna buy the Blu-ray.
Yeah, buy it anyway.
And that's the decision I'm trying to make because I want it on Blu-ray. But it's like, do I get the full one or do I get just the three that I want? You know,
I don't know.
Well, you gotta have Episode One, right?
It's
a punishment.
It's a classic.
It's a punishment
for buying.
It's like watching Bad Boys 2.
I know Bad Boys 2 is still entertaining in its sort of like ridiculousness.
We couldn't come back without a Bad Boys 2 reference.
I mean, Bad Boys 2 is worth watching again because it has so many ridiculous things. Episode 1 is just boring. Just like really boring.
Yeah.
It's sort of like there's nothing
bad.
Even
bad. Although the only redeemable parts from it whatsoever are Ewan McGregor. Ewan McGregor's great in all of them.
He's always good.
Yeah, he's just really good and it's just like he's the only redeemable part of that movie. It's just so bad. And like I said, I'm not a hater. I think the other two are okay. I think there's some really cool parts.
I like the Clone Wars cartoon better than the movies.
I haven't watched much of it.
I mean, it is just like the thing I always think about is how much anticipation there was for a new Star Wars movie.
Oh, yeah.
And it was episode one was the movie.
Just like, how many slack-jawed, like,
what the
what
did I just see?
Oh, no.
Wait
yeah.
a second. Why are they arguing? Are they arguing about those, trade embargoes?
Are what those are, guys the, Japanese aliens?
Why what? Is this movie so racist? I mean, like, has there ever been in history something that was anticipated with the fervor of a new Star Wars movie to be met with something that...
Well, the fourth Indiana Jones film probably was right
I haven't
about
seen
right
it yet.
There with it.
Yeah. Still haven't seen it.
Crystal I don't know. Skull. Star. I think Star Wars still beats
yeah,
it
the
out.
Anticipation was
the anticipation was higher, and I would argue that episode one is
worse than,
than
Crystal Skull. Yeah, probably. Yeah.
Yeah. I'm just tired of Shia LaBeouf.
I don't mind Shia LaBeouf, but... That movie is a piece of shit. It wasn't his fault. It was no. a piece of shit.
So, Tom, how do you like the Rogues Gallery?
It's nice. It's like art. It's artsy.
First time, this is the first time you've
it's
seen
artsy.
It, right?
Yeah, there's like art hanging on the wall that you can buy.
We are surrounded by an entire graphic novel right now.
Yeah.
I'm going to
So is this book silent? There's no word balloons.
No.
Digital word balloons.
Oh, they do it digitally?
Yeah.
It's
I know. You can go back and fix it all later if you need to.
You can. You can go
adding
back.
Slang. Yeah. Yo, what's up?
Have you read Petrograd?
Yes. No, not yet.
No, it's good.
It's historic fiction.
Oh,
it is.
There you go. I will probably enjoy it.
If you're
of all.
Interested in the possible conspiracy to kill Rasputin, it's
It's not a possible conspiracy. They killed
they
him.
They killed
they
him.
Did
yeah,
kill
they did
him.
Well, did they?
Is he dead?
That's the question of this book.
What I didn't find is at what point he comes back and
gets Hellboy
and gets Hellboy.
Yeah. It's I don't know. I didn't see that part.
Is this a
nothing.
Hellboy prequel?
Well,
I did reread all of I read all the Hellboy library editions when I was in Worcester. I got them and I was like, God damn, Hellboy is good.
Yeah,
and
good
I read all. I got the BPRD books too, and I was like,
"Well, this guy,
also really
this
good.
Is."
I started to enjoy BPRD more than I did Hellboy.
Oh yeah, I felt the same
so
way. For
this is the guy that's taken over for Guy Davis.
What?
Yeah,
yeah.
Okay.
Yeah,
cool.
Tyler Crook will be the new artist on BPRD.
I was like, God, these.
I heard he draws with his feet.
That's
just
true.
What I heard.
He draws on big walls.
Could be rumors.
He draws with his tail, his prehensile tail. He's an ape. A monkey. Monkeys have tails. Apes don't. Boom.
What? Damn. What do apes have?
They don't need tails. They lost them. Oh.
They're more evolved.
Yep.
All right.
I think that ends.
I think
right?
that's
the end
of it.
That's all right.
Are we good? Okay. Anything else we want to chit chat about?
Nah, I'm good. Nah, I've had enough.
All right,
got my fill.
We'll
sick of you guys now.
Tom's
gonna move away.
Tom,
again just
welcome back.
I just got a text message.
Welcome back.
I'm moving to Alaska.
Oh,
no, I'm kidding.
Enjoy yourself.
Yeah, it's good. It's good to have you back, buddy.
I'm going fishing.
Going
I'm
fishing.
Wisconsin. I'm gonna be
right
a crab man. Get on those crab boats. Can you imagine it? It's very cold.
You got the beard for it.
I do.
I don't see you joining
beard.
The cast of Deadly's Catch. I don't think your back wouldn't hold up.
Hey, you know, there is one other thing I'd like to mention.
What?
It wouldn't be an episode of Ron Comics. I didn't give one of our fellow podcasters shit. So I just
podcast call out.
No.
New segment.
No. I just want to
top
say
of the
thanks
stack.
To David for calling today and wishing.
King Dap.
Yeah, it'd be nice if he ever called me, you know, without the pretense of Tom coming back to around
that's
comics. Right.
He called
me
too.
Yeah, he's never calls me before. But
we call that kissing the ring.
But no, I appreciate it.
Pay tribute.
A lot. Yeah, he can call me any other other time.
He doesn't have my number for good reason. I don't get that.
He doesn't deserve it.
I don't
think I have your number. I'm pretty sure.
Well, I know it's.
I think my only contact with you is the Around Comics email address that I set up for you that you don't respond to.
Oh no, I've emailed you from my Gmail account.
Oh yeah, that's true.
Sal calls me today. Says, "Hey, I forgot my computer. What are we gonna do?" I was like, "Well, do you have Tom's phone number to see if he can bring his computer?" It's like,
"No."
I'll send you my phone number. Here, this is my phone number. 312. don't 218.
Don't do that. That's an iPod. That's not even a phone.
Well,
no, Tom. Oh.
Well, I want to before we wrap up, I want to thank Patrick and Dow, as always here at Challengers Comics and Conversation. We are
Bam Bam.
We are in the Rogues Gallery right now, which has the Tyler Crook exhibit, which is the entire Petrograd.
You know, in this current economic climate, a lot of people will tell you to buy gold. But you know what's as good as gold? Original comic book art.
Original comic art. I got a bid.
It's like real estate. It'll never go down.
It'll never go down.
I got a bid on a Gene Colan page on eBay, so we'll see how it works out. Yeah, I'll never win.
You're sick.
1% over here by an original,
right?
Occupy Chris's comic room.
coming up in December is Sal Abernathy.
Sal Abernathy.
So we'll have a Sal.
Wait, what do you mean he's coming?
Him or his
he'll part? Have an exhibit here in December.
Oh, so, okay.
So if you're interested in
he's
picking
an
up
artist?
Some,
he's
just kidding. in picking up some art from Petrograd, it'll be on display here. And come in to Challengers. They've got some great deals, a nice rental program.
I do want to talk shit to Jason Wood because my Bears are going to beat his Eagles on Monday night.
I hope so,
I'm
brother.
Win that bet.
I hope so, brother. It's.
Gonna happen. I'm saying it right now.
Yeah.
Don't say a word. Wow.
Tom's just sitting here, sitting back as a Green Bay fan. Like, don't matter.
Whatever.
Don't matter. All right. Well, hey, we will be back before the holidays really kick. It will be post Thanksgiving, but we'll be back in December to talk about some more comics and Mel Brooks movies and
whatever,
and how Lucas has come out with another edition of Star Wars.
I don't want to be a great Blazing Saddles podcast. I want to be the greatest.
Blazing Saddles. We should just come back and do a Blazing Saddles podcast.
I got was the. Have you ever heard the complete? Box set the 10,000-year-old man?
Yeah, something like that. No, I haven't.
And
you got the box set?
Yeah, it's pretty sweet. It's funny.
That sounds sweet, man.
Funny shit. Oh, sorry, I didn't.
All right.
Yeah, that's
well, there you go. Well, we'll be back again in
Cowboy Lou Brock.
In December.
Cowboy Brock.
Cowboy Brock.
Give me some Foley gloves.
Cowboy.
All right. Everyone, thanks again for listening. It's great to be back. Great to have Tom back. And we will be back again in December.
Maybe.
In the meantime.
Are we still doing that?
Yeah. Really? Why not?
We're the new
podcast
AC
call out.
Two. AC2? Maybe we should change the name. AC2.
AC2?
AC2.
Yeah. AC squared.
Ooh.
AC squared. Around comics squared.
To the future.
Wait. That is... Like last week, no, 2 weekends ago, I was not feeling well.
It
was Sunday. I had no plans. I wasn't feeling good.
Yeah.
I got up and just glorious thing that could have happened to me. There was Back to the Future marathon. I shit you not. Me and my son sat there and watched all three Back to the Future movies back to back. Just. That's all I did the entire day.
Back to back.
I thought you were going to you're gonna pull a George Lucas and re-edit old around comics.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, that's never going to happen.
No, I'm not.
CGI.
God,
I remember back in the day whenever we in the first year or so, I used to keep like the raw files for each
episode.
Oh, I have
CDs. I have stacks of DVDs. Yeah, DVDs
yeah.
at my house.
It's like the original unedited files.
I still have it all in a vault.
What?
I have it all in a vault.
Yeah.
The unedited file. I could go back and edit.
You can have the original CDs in a velvet bag.
For the low, low price. Autographed by Tom Caters.
I have someone signing it for me.
Well,
I used to keep printed out the show notes.
In a binder?
Yeah, yeah.
Why? Jesus. What the fuck were
That's
you thinking?
I threw all that shit away.
Oh, no, I hope so. Yeah. It's show these precious show notes.
You did not, really?
I kept the files.
Why?
I mean, I kept the digitals.
Oh.
For history's sake.
Yeah.
For posterity.
Posterity.
For posterity. Yeah.
Posterity.
We have to know in the future what things were announced at a Comic-Con 5 years ago.
It is
kind
of funny going through the news
and
seeing some of the
I haven't listened to an old episode of ours in...
Oh, I'd be frightened.
I've never.
As far as I know,
the show doesn't come out.
This one may not.
This may never.
You said you were listening to old episodes.
Oh, well, I have someone listen to them. And
just
sort of
explain
jot down
kind of bullet pointed for you?
Yeah, bullet pointed for me. Like an executive overview.
Oh, very nice, very nice.
Tell me what happened. Yeah, tell me what happened. In you know, June 7th.
Who is this someone? Who are all these people?
I'm a job creator. So, I'm a job creator.
You know, 9%. Unemployment went down to 9% this quarter.
I got assistance, listening to old episodes, you know, punching up jokes.
You know. Type in all my funny bits.
Yeah.
Very nice,
the 90%, the 90% Kirby's gold.
Come up with some new new characters for me to play.
Yeah.
You know, all right. New puppets.
All right, we are out of here.
People don't even know about the puppets. Like, I've been using puppets for years.
All right.
Chris wants
me.
To end.
In the meantime.
In between time.
We'll be everywhere. In
and around comics.
Welcome back.
Again.
Yeah.
We're back.
The second time.
Again.
It's just it's like the first time.
It's just we're not going to go away.
No.
We're not going to be consistent, but we're not.
It's because, no one can stop.
Yeah, they can't stop.
No one can stop us. It's the beauty of America.
You can do the stupidest shit.
You can do stupid shit.
And no one can stop. No one will even try.
In China, you can't do podcasts as long as you want to. The government hands out podcast relations.
You can smile.